Today's episode of The Slop on RHAP is sponsored by BetUS. Listen up, sports bettors. Football, basketball, and baseball are back, and that means it's time to get down your bets. And I can only tell you about the best. That's BetUS.com. Why do you ask? BetUS, they are the pioneer in online betting with more than 25 years in the biz. You need a sports book with integrity and longevity, and you need to know you're going to get paid. You need a sports book that offers everything, including live betting, MMA, golf, horses, esports, and all kinds of crazy bets. Call today at 1-800-69-BET-US. That's 1-800-69-BET-US. They will walk you through setting up an account. Nobody in the industry gives you better bonuses than BET-US. Join now. Mention Rob's podcast and you can get up to 150% in bonuses on your first deposit. Nobody beats that. 25 years in the biz. The best bonuses, BET-US. They should be your sportsbook. BET-US.com. Join today. That's BET-US.com. Join now. Mention Rob's podcast and you can get up to 150% in bonuses on your first deposit. That's at BET-US.com.
This is not the place for you to be. So let's have fun, let's get messy. Throw on your unitard and come with me. Welcome to the slop. Now let's get sloppy.
Yes. Let's get sloppy. Yes, here we are again, another Monday here today to talk about everything happening in Big Brother 22, the sloppy stuff that we're going to talk about here today. This is going to be a great show. Brendan and Rachel are going to be joining us in about 20 minutes here today, but I am chuffed to bits once again to have with me, of course, a man that you know him from, Puya Fridays, from 90 Day Fiance Rehap Up to his Twitch stream and Tiered List Tuesdays. Here is the great Puya Zambakili. Puya, how are you?
I am good, Rob. Sometimes I think that introduction was not necessary. I'm most definitely not that important. I will say I came in today, everything digital, notes digital, no pens in sight. We don't need another incident like the last time on Slop with the blue pen, but we're all good. I'm excited. It's always a good time to talk
nonsense. What happened last time? Your pen leaked?
Yeah, we were talking about Enzo and Enzo being all riled up in the house. And then my pen said, no, fam, we're gonna go off. So we're in a good place today, though.
Okay. I'm happy to have you back. Puya, how was your weekend?
My weekend was delightful. I had a good time. I spent a bunch of time with Liana. She was kind of off this weekend, not doing a lot of work stuff. So that was good. I enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. I had a couple of late night streams this week, which was a different setup pace. We went live at 1:30 in the morning. So that was fun.
What do you talk about at 1:30 in the morning?
Ooh, we talked a bunch of nonsense, a lot of nonsense. We had a feud. Yeah, a lot of good. It's called The Pad. That's what we're advertising it as. So it's exactly very apt.
Oh, I didn't even know this.
I know. Yeah.
By the way, that I don't know if Liana is nearby. Tell her that that her and Mike on the B&B did a bracket of the costume rankings, and then I got some collateral damage this weekend when Adam Pock saw bracket and then mentioned me. Jeez, at Rob Sister Nino, didn't realize my RHAP ban includes costumes. So please include Adam Pock and his Elfie costume in the next bracket.
There were definitely some snubs on that list. I saw people advocating for the carrot costume. Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking about the banana costume being snubbed. So there were some. That being said, had you not mentioned the elf just now, I would have not remembered which costume that was. So that's my bad.
Yeah. Okay. But we'll be talking some Big Brother 13 later on today with Brendan and Rachel. Okay. But first, we usually like to start things off with Enzo. Enzo's been very subdued of late, Puya.
This is true. I think he's running low on the energy. He's got his
material.
He's pretty much out of his material for the most part. We saw the bulk of it last night with him comedically putting on a horrible Australian accent on the wall. That was kind of his whole thing. Mm-hmm. And then since then, it's been complaining about, oh, this person's not winning enough competitions. Yo, this isn't it. or this is it, that's it, yo. Like it's the same old with Enzo, yeah. But we're not getting enough of the nipple factory stuff that we really yearn for right. Here on the slop.
Do you think, is Enzo sort of like the heroes of House Guests, that he had like enough material for a season one and just like put it all up front, and then it's like, it's 3 weeks in, I'm out of stories, yo.
I mean, I could see that. I could see that. And there's no strike that's going to help him here. And by help, I mean put an end to it. I think we're going to see Enzo for the long haul. So let's hope he has a second breath. Let's hope he's due for like a reboot, but okay. In a positive way.
All right. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about some of the cuisine going on in the Big Brother house. And this is something that some astute live feeders picked up on over the course of the week, that Nicole Franzel has a special delicacy that she makes in the house, and it's something called spaghetti salad. Are you familiar with spaghetti salad, Puya?
I am not. I'm not until I saw the still of the video. I didn't watch the full video. I don't know exactly what the ingredients are. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure I'm going to learn today.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the cuisine of Nicole Franzel, her specialty. It's called spaghetti salad. Now, I don't have a clip on the recipe for spaghetti salad, but I do have a GIF here that I can share with you that gives us a pretty good visual of what's going on here in spaghetti salad. So let's just go ahead and check that out. Okay, this is was shared to me by a great tweet account, disrespectful and tasteless at Coney Island Baby, who gives us this image here. And let's see if we can maybe get a closer look at this here on the stream. And then for the people who are listening to the podcast, let's see if we can describe a little bit of what's going on here, Puya. All right. So it looks like we have cooked spaghetti. Mm-hmm. And then we are going to, looks like we've got some cucumbers, tomato. Can you identify, is that ham? Also?
Yeah, do I see chunks of ham? I think I see chunks of ham.
It looks like we've got some shredded cheese and then topped off with Italian dressing and a lot of it.
Oh, this is a handsome amount of Italian dressing, if I do say so.
Yeah.
Just really letting it fast and loose with the lid on there. So here's the thing. I saw a comment, because I've seen this GIF. I saw a comment underneath that was like, this is actually a thing. So like, I'm not about to be like, hey, this is like, you know, what you're doing is wrong. But also, is this a cold? This is a cold meal, right? It's a cold. This is meant to be eaten because like a pasta salad, right?
Yeah, I don't know if this is the kind of thing where has this spaghetti been cooked and chilled? It looks like that it's the pan. It's like a hot pan. I don't know.
Yeah, it looks like it's still kind of like, is it not on the stove still? And also the cheese is kind of gone. I don't know. This is one of those things where this is when I realize, okay, I can see why more people eat simplistic, because this is one of those, mm-hmm. I'm out of stuff to eat and I'm waiting for the next paycheck. What do I have in the fridge mm-hmm. that'll work? Okay. Because I'm telling you, Rob, this is pioneering to the next level. I would have never thought to put Italian dressing on my spaghetti ever.
The spaghetti salad. It's you take a salad and then take the lettuce out and put in a box of spaghetti.
I mean, the only thing that would make this more blasphemous is if she put it on top of bread and made it a spaghetti salad sandwich.
Yes.
Then it's just out of here.
Yes. Well, they say that all food is either a sandwich or spaghetti salad. That's it's either one of those two things for sure.
I have a would you rather for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you rather eat this spaghetti salad or the beef sauce?
Yes,
from
I was
Big
gonna
Brother
say,
20.
Did she get this recipe from JC?
I made like a pasta with hot dogs, ground beef, and everything I found around the house. Is it like a beef sauce?
I think I'd rather eat JC's pasta with, what was in the pasta?
I made like a pasta with hot dogs, ground beef, and everything I found.
I mean, pasta with ground beef isn't that wacky.
Yeah, and the hot dogs are
sausage.
Yeah, it's close, but it's still closer than I would honestly eat that preferably, because I feel like both of them are kind of punishments, but at least One of them is a more tasty, gluttonous punishment, and the other one's just a punishment. So I would go for the beef sauce as well.
Yeah. If you want to get a look on what it's like when somebody has a spaghetti salad, here is a clip of Nicole enjoying. Look how delicious it looks.
We're playing fast and loose with the word enjoying, Rob.
This, are we sure this wasn't a punishment that she had to endure? She does not seem to be taking any pleasure from the spaghetti salad.
No, I feel like what this is missing is the edit of All Around Me Are Familiar Faces playing in the background. Yes. That would bring this full circle. I guess she's smiling a little bit at the end there. Okay. Kind of happy.
You know, the Big Brother producers thought something was off here, because look at the slow zoom that they do here on Nicole Franzel, as you could hear like the sound of silence, like as they're just like, hello, darkness, my old friend.
Yeah, that would be a good edit too on here.
Come to dine with you again. Okay. Nicole Franzel, I guess, is also a big pasta fan, Puya.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, because we have more Nicole Franzel pasta stories here for you today.
I'm excited.
All right. This was another clip from the live feeds of last week with Matt Hoffman. We talked about how they were playing The Price is Right up in the HOH room, where they were guessing how much some of the items cost in the HOH room. I guess there was a conversation about how much do ramen noodles cost?
Yes, it's a big debate. I feel like this is something that not many people might know the price of,
yes,
potentially.
Are you a ramen guy, Puya?
I mean, I feel like it's a rite of passage. Ramen, cup of noodles, kind of in that vein. I've gone through university. I've definitely indulged. Every now and then, it's like one of those weird meals. It's like you go back to it just for like to think of the good old days, but they're not really the good old days. They were kind of the sad meal days, but the nostalgia hits still. So yes, I would say yes, because there's also fancier, better ramen out there now in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a fan. Love any noodle soup. I think that also the top ramen, though, I think it's like the worst thing you can eat in terms of like good for you.
Yes, definitely. It's deceiving. It's just a soup, but like,
I think
at
it's
what
like
cost?
A week's worth of sodium, like in one shot. I think it's not very healthy, but okay. So here is, we have HOH Danny, Nicole Franzel, and Ian Terry discussing the cost of how much do ramen noodles go for these days?
How much are they?
Probably
85.
Wow, 85 cents?
Danny seems outraged. Oh my God, 85 cents?
Hold the phone.
What is she, a grandma from like 1930? Like back in my day.
It's like acting like inflation took over. I think the next sentence is they were like 10 cents. And I'm like, when? When?
Now, back when Memphis was in college, I think they were 10 cents. But Danny's outraged. Can't believe 85 cents for top ramen. This is highway robbery. Maybe Danny really is like an old soul. That's why she ends up like she knits sweaters that are shirts. She eats ramen that's 10 cents a bowl.
Yeah. I mean, the reality is, I think individual packs are like about 50, 60 cents maybe. But to say 85 is outrageous. I mean, you're getting a meal for less than a dollar and you're getting change back. Yeah. I feel like that's a good deal.
Maybe Danny buys them like at Costco where you get like things that you could it's like a shipping pallet of them and it's like $5 and each one ends up costing a nickel. So maybe that's where Danny's buying in bulk.
I wouldn't be surprised. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So Danny's outraged at the price.
A cup of like a margarita.
Seriously? They
no
used
way.
To be 10 cents.
Those things are like.
Okay, how much is a pack of ramen?
Ramen? I'm answering on my favorite show on TV. Everybody loves ramen.
She just said a pack of ramen! I've never heard anyone say that.
You're kidding.
Okay, Puya, now my next question is, can you make spaghetti salad with ramen?
I would answer it in the true way of ramen. Yeah, you can. It's a possible thing. Spaghetti salad.
What was Raymond's wife's name?
Your guess is as good as mine. It's been a minute.
Deborah? Was that it?
I think so.
Okay, how much is a pack of Raymond?
Okay. Can you complete this sentence, Puya? It took Nicole to make dinner a couple of packs.
Couple of packs, couple of stacks of Raymond noodles.
Okay, how much is a pack of Raymond?
Yeah. Danny Donato, or Danny Briones, really, she lost it over that.
Both the price was outrageous, but then the reaction, she was gone with the hilarity on the mispronunciation from Nicole, which we know this isn't the first thing she mispronounces. Mm-hmm. The last time I was here, we talked about Mother Freaker, We've got Raymond Noodles. Mm-hmm. The intrigue doesn't stop with the wonders that are Franzel's frantics.
Let me ask you this, Puya, okay? The spaghetti salad with Raymond, you put the seasoning packet in or no?
I mean, it depends who cooks it. But yeah. I have a feeling you have to. You need it. Especially if you're really leaning on the Italian dressing, just throw the packet in there for good measure because I feel like you're going to need it.
Yeah. I bet Nicole Franzel cooks the Raymond, throws the packet away.
That's what I'm saying. I think for her, the packet's like, it's, you know, when you get something sent to you and they have that little bag that you're not supposed to, like, they said, don't consume this. I think she thinks it's that. And she's like, nope, not going to fool me.
She won't eat it.
Exactly.
No seasoning for Nicole. Okay. Here's another clip that's from the live feeds. Okay. We've talked about all of the wall yellers showing up over here. Puya, do you get worked up about the wall yelling?
Yeah, I feel like, honestly, you know, maybe I'm a hipster, but let me see if this works.
I feel like with regards to the wall yelling, it's become a thing of we need to promote ourselves. So it's like Tyler and Christmas have a final two. Also, you can follow me on Twitter at 6769 Mike Fine Wine. Oh, no, they're coming. Okay, I got to run. Bye.
Like, that's what it is now. It's too much. Like, you need to stop.
That's good. That's good.
Thank you. Yeah.
All right. Well, Puya, the wall yellers, somebody in the house is no fan of them. And it's a man who I guess the wall yellers have called out before. And that would be Cody Calafiore. Here's a conversation from the feeds. This is Cody. This is Christmas. And this is Kevin talking about the wall yellers.
We don't get the backyard enough for this bullshit to happen.
It's Saturday night, people.
Do something. Do something else.
They have a hobby.
No. Us. Get a hobby.
We are their hobby.
Get a different hobby.
Okay. First off, Cody is against the people that wall yelling is their hobby.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Not a fan.
Get a different hobby.
Different, and also, I don't know if you caught that. He initially was about to say get laid and then stopped
get laid.
Himself.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's to get stops.
Let's hear this again.
We don't get the backyard enough for this bullshit to happen.
It's Saturday night, people.
Do something.
Look, Cody, if I could, I would rather be doing something else than yelling over the wall, okay? We are in the middle of a pandemic. We have limited options for hobbies.
That's it. Like, what do you want us to do? We're the reason you get to be in movies, okay?
Sorry, Cody, it's hard to meet somebody out here on the outside.
It's all online. So I don't know what you're telling me to do. But it is what it is. Get laid. Get laid. Get a hobby. So does he think the two are the same? Is getting laid a hobby to Cody?
Okay. Let's finish the quote and then let's circle back to that. Okay.
Okay. Sounds good.
They have a hobby.
No. Us. Get a hobby.
We are their hobby.
Get a different hobby.
I like that Cody has just like disdain for everybody involved with the Big Brother production or the Big Brother, anybody consuming Big Brother. Cody seems to have disdain.
I just really like that, because we know there's been another incident with a wall yeller where Cody just started yelling over top of them to try and like get their voices drowned out. So he's been done with them for a minute now, and it's just getting worse with him.
Yeah, that they could be getting laid. Instead, they're yelling over the wall.
Yeah, yeah. If Cody had a speakerphone, he would say,
"Stop this. Get money. Get paid. Get laid. Get a hobby. Don't come back here. Don't come back here."
That's what I imagine he'd say.
Okay, but somebody who's surprisingly wall yeller friendly is Christmas. Listen to this.
Don't watch get a different hobby. I love being your hobby.
Watch us. Coming and yelling stuff to us is not a hobby. Get a different hobby. Watch us as much as you want.
What's your hobby, Cody?
Okay, so Christmas, hey, please, this is, you still, like, I think that Christmas thinks that she's like, oh, the fans love me. If Christmas knew what the fans thought about her, she would also be like yelling back to them to go get laid, get a hobby, turn off the show.
Well, when you believe that you're the natural heir to the hosting throne after this, your perception might be a little snowed as to what people might think of you when you think of yourself so highly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just real quick. So Cody mocks the wall yellers, get a hobby. I looked up Cody Calafiore's hobbies.
Okay. How'd you track this down?
I did a Google search. I figured that in one of these bios, he had to have them. Okay. Okay. Cody Calafiore's hobbies. You want to take any guesses?
So we know he's like linked to the soccer world. So let's say soccer's in the middle there.
Okay, we'll take that. He likes going on runs.
Okay.
His hobbies include going on runs, working out, and going to the gym. Kind of all the same thing, no?
Yeah, it's like
my hobbies are working out and going to the gym and running.
Exercising, working out, and going to the gym, pretty much all the same. You didn't need to say it in three different ways.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, it's like me saying my hobbies are eating, snacking, and then ordering food. Like, that's all the same thing. It's really all the same thing.
And another article says his hobbies include working out and watching romantic movies.
I mean, sometimes you dream enough, you watch enough, you end up in them. So I can see where and how he ended up in there. I really thought it was going to go more of a Danger Dave side of things, where he'd say that his sport, his hobby is making love. I thought that's where it was going.
Yes. Well, maybe the watching the movies is like step one of Netflix and chill, which is why he doesn't have to do the wall yelling.
That's true. That's true.
All right, so we have Brendan and Rachel standing by. We'll get to them in just a moment. But first, let me take a moment and thank a sponsor for today's episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Honey, the browser extension that saves you money. Head on over to joinhoney.com/RHAP to download the Honey browser extension for free. Look, there's nothing better than saving money, especially when you're doing online shopping. We do so many purchases, especially right now, on all the different websites. And I have the Honey browser extension. And let me just tell you what a thrill that is when I see that little cursive H pop up on my browser, which means, oh, Honey is about to be saving you money. It's like pulling the lever of the slot machine, where then if you go to a site that is set up with Honey, and there's so many of them, over 30,000 supported sites, it's going to try all the different promo codes, boop, 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 and then get you the one that's going to save you money. 5%, 10%, 20% free shipping. Who knows? But there's a code out there. It's going to crack the case wide open and save you money. I've used it on so many different sites, especially when you are sending flowers. This weekend, it was my lovely wife's 40th birthday. Wanted to send her some flowers. Hit the Honey button. Boom. You're saving money on anything you were going to be buying online. The Honey browser extension is free for use. Basically, it's your online shopping best friend. Honey has found its over 17 million members, over $2 billion in savings, and Honey supports all kinds of retailers from tech and gaming sites to fashion brands, even food delivery. If you have a computer, Honey should be on it. It's free and works with whatever browser you use. You can join for free today at joinhoney.com/RHAP. That's joinhoney.com/RHAP. All right. Well, we're very excited today because we have a great guest here with us on the slop to talk about this week in Big Brother. We have some Big Brother royalty here with us. The 17th all-star, some would say, here. We have here with us great friends of the podcast, Brendan Villegas and Rachel Riley Villegas are here. Yes.
Hey.
Brenchel.
Thanks for having us.
Okay. All right. You're on with myself and Puya, and we're talking about everything that's going on. But first, how are you two doing?
Good. I'm actually ordering Uber Eats, snacking, and my other hobby is what? Food?
Eating in between snacks. And munching.
Yes. Okay.
I would say I like working out, but I'm too pregnant for that.
Yes. Okay. Well, this is a big news, of course, that you guys had the big exclusive that you you announced that we knew you were with child. You have a baby boy on the way. Is that correct?
Yeah, we do. We're super excited.
Yes. Okay.
So we will have a girl and a boy.
All right. Yeah. That's good. So all right. You nailed it.
So Dora will be a big sister.
Big sister.
Okay. Not a big brother.
All right. Yeah. Well, congratulations on that. Yeah, and we love the photo shoot from last week.
Thank you. Yeah, so this is my idea. It's been to 2020. And so I was like, we have to do pictures with a mask, and we have to do pictures like a dystopian theme, because if we don't, we're doing ourselves a disservice.
Not a lot of people do like dystopian birth announcements.
No, they don't, which is why we're Brenchel and those people aren't.
Mm-hmm. It's a niche we're trying to corner.
Yeah.
Yes. This was from people.com, and here you are. Here's what is this thing that you're in, Rachel?
You know, it's a rock. We're not really sure.
I think it's like a simulated pipe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be.
That's my guess.
The end of the world.
Yes. And then we have the mask picture. And
reminds me of kind of a Mortal Kombat. The second picture is like Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then Rachel, what's going on here? This is like a Flashdance.
Yeah. So, well, it was part of the dystopian theme also, you know, raining on the inside, because it's acid rain on the outside, but on the inside it's probably safe.
Acid rain?
Yeah. No, you know, the end of the world. But no, seriously, I was just like,
Waterworld, to be exact.
We thought it would be fun to do a rain room. And then, of course, if you're going to do a rain room, you can't just be basic. You have to wear a sequin dress.
Yes.
And of course, if you're going to have a boy, it has to be blue.
Wow. Wow.
With blue light.
This is a lot.
Imagine how involved I was in that plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a lot for everybody to live up to. Yes. Okay.
I insisted on the rain room. Okay. Nothing else.
Yeah, Brendan, how are you doing?
Pretty good. I've been busy at school. We am back in the lab. So I started back a few months ago. I started working with COVID-19 research.
Yes. Oh, so I was going to ask you if you were going to have a cure for us soon.
Yeah, I thought about it, but I just don't have this a lot of time and a lot of work. And, you know, it's like weekends and stuff. Mm-hmm. I really, you know, so I want to just hang out and run around with no mask on like everyone else in California.
Yeah.
Go to rain rooms.
Yeah, you know. No, in all seriousness, I've been working, still doing lung cancer research. So a little bit of our stuff is used with COVID-19 research because we do small airway lung models, which it has an overlap with coronavirus. So that's pretty much the extent. And then also working with some other guys on some cancer drugs. So a little bit here, a little bit there. So, you know, always trying to have something to fall back on in a pandemic.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, your hard work is all very much appreciated. And thank you for taking some time out to talk with us, because we're dying to know what you're thinking about this season. Just to give the backdrop. Okay. All right. Of course, that you both played in Big Brother 12. You played with Enzo. You played in Big Brother 13 with Danny. You mm-hmm. were, Rachel, you were on The Amazing Race with several of these house guests that were from this season. And,
yes.
you know, Tyler doesn't like it when his name is in other people's mouths. And your name has been mentioned quite a bit also here in Big Brother 22.
I know, especially like that first week. It's been, I thought it was going to be, you know, a lot, but I was really excited about the cast, and then I felt that every week we see our favorites going home, mm-hmm. which is disappointing. But you know, I think we played with Enzo and Danielle, and like Danielle is playing very similar. Enzo, like if you talked to me 3 weeks ago, yeah. I would have said Enzo doesn't do anything. But he's like,
I think Enzo was the surprise of the season, yeah. second only to David, probably. not in a good way.
No, but in a good way, he's winning.
No, I'm saying Enzo in a good way. David,
oh,
obviously.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You know, but sure. Yeah, no, I'm very proud of Enzo because. Really, I when we played with him in the first season, I had to think that Enzo won like two.
No, he won one comp. It was OTEP.
One comp out of like 30. And I was just thinking.
But he
like,
played in every.
He played in like every single competition. And so to see him come back and start winning stuff immediately was actually a massive surprise.
And playing the game. Because
and playing the game.
As far as I know, that he was just kind of hanging out playing pool in the backyard with his with his bro Gabe.
He didn't have to have a strategy.
No.
So I think we actually see him now having to have some sort of strategy throughout the game, and it's interesting because yeah, I wouldn't have thought he would be doing as well as he is.
So, yeah, and he's actually in a good spot.
Yeah. Because I spoke with Matt last week, and we were talking about Enzo and his evolution, and I think it's really interesting.
Halloween.
Yes, remember the Halloween as well. Yes, I think it's interesting to look at. Like, is this the same Enzo where he wasn't getting the credit from the first time? Where I remember when he came off that season and talked about how he had the greatest social game of all time, and we all laughed and mocked him, but he's done a really good job so far this season.
Yeah, I think it's not the same Enzo, in my opinion. I think we're seeing him actually, like, he seems to have evolved as a player, but also I think he's just, like, really stepped up his game. Like, he's playing, he's even getting mad at people for not winning competitions.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, like, just, you know, in general, he's playing a lot more of a social game this season where he has to kind of bounce around a little more. He's kind of like got his hand in all these alliances. His name never comes up, but yet he still can win an HOH, but nobody's pissed off at him, you know? So I think he's doing really good. I think, and a lot, nobody wants to throw him on the block, no, even as a pawn. Like in season 12, I think he was like the best pawn. I think he went up a few times as a pawn.
Did he?
I thought so, right?
Maybe. You could barely remember. Because even if he did, you wouldn't have thought it was any sort of threat because he wasn't going home.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know. But, yeah, no, I mean, surprisingly, I think, I mean, obviously, I'm sure we're going to turn to Danielle at some point.
Yeah.
So, an obvious transition.
Yeah.
And she's another one that we're obviously very surprised by. I don't think either one of us anticipated her gameplay to be what it is, because to me it's got shades of Big Brother 13 written all over it.
It's just like Big Brother 13, you know?
So tell us about that, because I feel like that we saw Danny last night talking about this position that she's in, and she says, oh look, I came in too hot last time, I made big moves in Big Brother 13, I got burned bad, so I don't want to do that again. But you feel like that she's making the same mistakes.
100%.
She is.
Yeah.
She just has her fingers in way too many pies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, rather than letting things evolve naturally, she tries to induce, you know? And when you start running around making people be friends with you or making you have relationships, you start seeing that those people run around. And even with Kalia and her, right away we knew, without confirming, we knew what she was doing because we could just see her running around.
Yeah.
And you see somebody moving throughout the house, having conversations with everybody all the time. At some point, you're going to think something, whether it's true or not. So she just needed to lay low for a little bit, and she's in a good alliance. So why are you trying to stir up drama and, like, you know, I mean, oh, it's just way too much work, you know?
Well, I think also with Danielle, she is like too aggressive when she approaches people. Like she's very messy with it. Like she gets mad at them and they get upset. Like she did that on season 13 too. She's like, you have to nominate Jeff.
When you disagree with her or she doesn't get her way, you can tell immediately. You can tell when somebody is reflecting like, no, not doing that.
Yeah.
Like she can't even lie well because immediately when she doesn't want to do something, it shows all her face, you know?
But I will say the one thing about Danielle that I missed from season 13 is her turning on the Alliance. I wish she would do that now.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
So, okay, this is interesting because I feel like that, you know, from the outside perspective, I think a lot of people felt like that, oh, Danny is really trying to work to, like, create havoc in the big alliance. And so if we were, you know how it is, people root for the underdogs, the people who aren't in power. And it looked like in the beginning of the season when you two and Jeff and Jordan, it seemed like, oh, they're just, like, making all these idiots, these first-timers. They're just going to stomp all over them, and Danny looked like she was trying to sort of like really create some havoc, and we said, oh, we like that. So here she is again in this big alliance, and it does seem like she's trying to like get people turning on each other, but not necessarily to work with the underdogs.
But 100%, yeah, I think she's trying to get people to turn on each other, and she is planting these seeds. I see all over like Twitter and stuff, and I think you guys talk about it, that she's the sower. And that
Enzo called her the gardener.
Okay, the gardener. The perfect. Gardener. And like she does plant seeds. But the problem is like I personally think she's being too aggressive with it, where people are talking because they're all in the same alliance. When she planted seeds with us, I wasn't talking to, you know, Kalia and Shelly, and Shelly wasn't talking to us. So she could easily plant seeds. Like that's that Boston Rob game, right? Where they're not talking and you can plant the seeds. But if you are talking and people are all friends, it's way harder.
Richard, we're having so much fun. Why do you have to bring up Boston Rob? Come on.
Well, like, no, I think that's 100% right, because from what I've been seeing, this whole, like, she is a gardener, but she is a premature harvester. Mm. So, like, all the crops that she's yielding are not there yet. They're still a little too, like, you know, not ready to hit the shelves.
Green tomatoes.
That's the biggest problem. Yeah, it's the biggest problem that she has.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's biting her in the butt. Like this week is really going to be biting her in the butt.
Well, let's talk about her HOH week here. And we will get into some spoilers here, just as a heads up for people who are very spoiler averse. You'll have to come back and check us out on. Well, you'll have to wait 24 hours. The episode's going to be on tomorrow night with the veto. Okay. All right. So let's talk about this HOH week, because this has turned into be a very messy HOH week.
The messiest I've seen. I mean, honestly, thank God, because there's nothing else that we've seen this whole season that's been like any sort of like gameplay. But it's really hard for like a Danielle to win an HOH on that endurance comp on the wall and then go up and like have her alliance tell her she can't nominate this person, she can't nominate that person, she has to do this and has to do that. And like, I could just like kind of see the wheels turning in her head where she's like, oh my God, I don't want to piss off Cody, and I don't want to piss off, you know, Christmas, and I don't want to piss off Memphis. And so she's really limited. So her only options, right, are, you know, Kevin or David, really.
You know, I had a question for Puya. He might know. Yeah. So did she take into consideration the powers? Because she is really, she's an overgamer. So she usually is thinking about every single scenario. If I'm her, I have to imagine there's two other powers floating out there. If I don't know what they are, even if I know the people who have them, maybe I don't know exactly what they are. Am I trying to make nominations based off that too? Because I would have to think that she might have thought about that, or did she not? Yeah.
So the first night of her reign, she said that she was telling a bunch of people that she wanted to operate as if they don't exist because it was giving her too much to think about. And I think she didn't want to overplay it. So the whole going the Kevin and David route was the most simplistic way of her doing what she would have done without them anyways. I mean, unlucky for her, one of the two had one of them. So that kind of like put a wrinkle on the plans. But she did say that she wanted to pretend they don't exist to kind of like start off the week.
Okay.
Yeah, that is surprising for me with Danielle.
Yeah, because she really overgames. Yeah. So most of the time she's 10 steps ahead thinking mm-hmm. about what you're going to be eating on finale mm-hmm. night. And you're yeah. like,
is it spaghetti salad?
yeah. Don't get me wrong. I love those exactly. that green room food. It's pretty good. Mm-hmm. You know, but
yeah, I think with Danielle this week, I thought it was, I think she probably needed to win because Nicole was kind of already trying to come after her. So I don't think it was like one of those things where she didn't need to win.
I mean, who's left up there? Who are the last?
It was Cody. They
Cody, Nicole, and Danny.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I'm Danny, I definitely don't win.
I think she
messed up winning this week because Danielle is somebody who once she starts, she doesn't stop. So from here on out, she's going to try to win every competition she can. And then it's going to catch up with her.
Because she's pissed off so many people.
Oh, and she's going to use that power. And if she does win HOH next week, mm-hmm. even worse, she's going to double up on the target. Because why would people not think of her as now a massive threat? Because she won two HOHs back to back, you know?
Yeah.
And it's going to be a different type of HOH, right?
So this is the perfect time for me to ask the two of you, since you've played with her before. So she's been bringing up, so she obviously has the power where she's going to have the opportunity to replay this week. She can play the HOH again following her reign. She's been talking about not wanting to do that because it exposes her, yada, yada, yada. So as people who have played with her, do you think that that's in her DNA, or do you think she's 100% going to use that power this week?
She's 100% going to use it. I mean,
she's going to have to realize she has to use it, especially after this week with everyone's all upset about what's going on and crying for no reason.
It's like these idiots who want to give away $5,000. Like, no, I should give it away here. It's like, why? Nobody, everyone gets pissed off in Big Brother for about 2 minutes.
That's true.
And then they forget like a day later. So like whatever sort of prize you get, nobody holds against you because everyone forgets.
Yeah, she's gonna have to play it again.
Yeah. She has to. I think it's like a 99-1 odds that she plays it. Because I don't, why would you not? Right? Yeah. Why would you? Right. There's a 100% advantage to playing it. There's absolutely zero. There's a less than zero chance if you don't. Right. So
do we know when she has to make that call? Because hypothetically, you know, we have this situation where that Ian has been named as the renom, that Devon used the veto, took down Kevin. Ian went up, and there is this scenario where it's potentially going to be a 4-4 tie that she might have to break live and potentially could have a number of people in the house on either side upset with what that decision that she has to make on the live eviction show. Can she say, like pull that card out and say, like, you know what? I'm playing. I gotta use this like on the live show, or does she need to call that in before they get to the live show?
I mean, I imagine that what I imagine is that they're going to ask Danielle when she goes into the backyard for the HOH competition.
And that makes sense. Julie, like on the live show, there's a power.
They've chosen to use it. Whoa!
Because sometimes those things are pre-built and there's lanes and everything, and there's like they may have a spot for. I guess maybe they hold a spot for her in case she wants to use it. But then I feel like then that's also if it's like a quiz comp and there's a thing that like, well, why'd they put one out there for Danny? She was the HOH. That's weird.
Yeah, that's
true. I guess they screwed up.
They probably have to ask
2020.
Them
am I right?
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, no, you're totally
you know
right.
how it is. The DR is going to find out or get a good inclination of what she's going to do before that rolls around so that they're ready. Right. Either,
the chat, I don't know. I don't know how where they get their info from, but the chat is saying by 10 a.m. on Thursday. That's the cutoff. Okay. According to our chat.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's a good time, I guess.
Yeah. Okay.
She would know by Thursday because she's going to know how the votes lie and how many people are mad at her, whether or not she needs to play it.
Yeah.
But I think, in my opinion, I really think she shouldn't have won. But I read this on Twitter. I'm like 99% sure it's true that Danielle's the only person to win that competition three times, right? In her three different seasons, that wall competition.
Well, I mean, most people haven't played three times.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's a good point. But I think every time she plays a wall competition, an endurance wall comp, she wins it, right?
Who would have thought?
Mm-hmm. I know.
Yeah.
So
okay.
So I think that, like, she's good at these competitions. She knew that going into it, she probably saw it and knew she was going to win. And so I'm wondering if she pre-made the decision about winning before she even got out there.
I have a feeling that Danielle's a smart player, but there's this push pull with her. You know, she's a smart player who knows that she shouldn't be winning it, but there's that pull of, and that drive to her to want to win, mm-hmm. to become the queen of Big Brother.
Yes.
So, you know, I think that's what ends up happening. And that's why you see her stay up there. She probably wants to jump off, knows she should jump off, but doesn't want to jump off.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Okay. Let's talk about the queen of Big Brother, Rachel, because I think that some people would argue that you could be the queen of Big Brother. What do you make of this Dani that says she wants to come for Janelle this season because she wants to be the queen of Big Brother?
Yeah, I think I'm like a princess, maybe.
The princess of Big Brother.
Yeah. Yeah. Janelle, I would definitely say Janelle is the queen of Big Brother. I feel like you know, you say Big Brother, you think of Janelle. She's like the, you know, queen.
And then you call Danielle Reyes like the godmother.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, and then you have like all your other people like Rachel and Danielle Donato and all that. Mm-hmm. But I think Janelle, I think, is at a totally different level than Danielle could ever be at. And I really do like Danielle. It's not that this is anything against her. It's just that like Janelle is like, you know, season 6 and 7, Janelle is a legend and there's nothing you can't get around, you know, season mm-hmm. 6 and 7, Janelle. She is the queen. She is like what people still emulate today. They say, you know, their favorite season, oh, Janelle from season 6 or Janelle from season 7. You know, we're in season 22 and people still talk about it. They're still scared of her, you know?
That is probably the bigger part of it.
Yeah.
Is you have all these people who are afraid of a mom coming in who has 3 kids, who's like definitely probably not able to work out as much as Tyler or Cody.
Yeah,
or, right?
Cody's hobbies are working out and going to the gym and running.
And soccer.
Consecutively, I believe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I read.
So, yeah. I mean, I think it's like with Janelle, I do think it's just a personal thing that these people, these girls are just jealous. They want to be the Janelles,
right.
You know?
Yeah. I think that's so interesting about you because that you came into Big Brother and you were a Janelle fan from before you play, and you were on The Amazing Race with Janelle, but you were never in the Big Brother house with her. But I have to think that you would probably have wanted to work with her. I mean, what's the fun of getting to play with the people you look up to only to say, and then I can destroy them?
100%. I feel the same way.
Darth Vader?
That's what I don't understand. Like, for me, I would have gone in there, like, 100% and worked with Janelle. Like, I mean, it was so fun on Amazing Race. I got to work with her. I was like freaking out every second. But like just working with her in Big Brother would be a dream come true. So I don't know why Danielle wouldn't work with her. And then another thing that makes no sense is that Janelle would never put Danielle in the box. She would never vote against her. And Janelle's loyal. We know that we've seen Janelle play this game 4 mm-hmm. times. We've seen her on Amazing Race. We've talked to her in real life. And, you know, Danielle's talked to her in real life. She knows that Janelle would never turn her back on her. And she's a loyal player and a loyal person. And so I don't understand why you go with the one person you know who always turns their back on their alliance over someone like Janelle.
And then that's when you just come back. We all watched that video of her in the preseason interviews. And then you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I guess that's that. You just have to watch that video to realize you're going to keep going back to the same question. Mm-hmm. And that's the answer. She just wants to dethrone her. It's not about winning the game. It's not about making good alliances in the beginning. It's about taking someone out who she wants to become. You know?
Yeah.
Let me ask you, Rachel, that I had heard that in the preseason that they had reached out if you wanted to play in this season and you couldn't do it because you have a baby boy Brenchel on the way. But did you try to compromise with the producers about some other scenarios that where you could have virtually played in this season?
Oh, I would love to virtually play. No, I didn't even think about virtual play. I told them I would play pregnant, of course. They didn't like that idea.
They didn't like that. Was it a COVID thing or was it a stress thing for you?
For them, they said, I don't think we could have you hanging on the wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
That would be a big disadvantage, right? To be pregnant and then on the wall.
But I told them I said, listen, I'm not going to fall off the wall.
And then finale night, she's like, I've been faking this, yeah, this whole time. Yeah.
So I was like, this is what we'll do. We'll have me and my sister play as a team.
Yeah.
And then like, we'll have Alyssa do the physical comps for me. I don't know. We'll split the money, whatever you guys want to do. And then I didn't even tell Brendan that. He'd probably be like, you're not splitting the money. Like, are you crazy? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that's no, what I'd be upset well, about.
My idea was that I think that they should have gotten that Sam robot that they had for Big Brother 20 and then put your face on an iPad and then you could be moving around the house.
That would be genius.
That would be great.
Rachel's laugh. You get some of her sayings. Yep. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
You got plenty
of
the drama.
And you just, okay. To Danielle.
Yeah, yeah.
At the table.
That's right. That's right. you can't be in the wall comp. Big deal.
Right. Exactly. That was another thing I said too, because I was like, well, I could just like not play in the really physical comps because half of the comps are, you know, quizzes and stuff.
I mean, some of them do have a lot of moving.
Yeah. I think they're probably just, you know, legally. Something about legal.
Yeah, something about
pregnant
girl,
yeah,
running all around.
Yeah.
I even tried to tell them that there was a girl in the
oh yeah,
the other Big Brother that had a baby on the show.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Which Big Brother was that?
Was it the Danish one?
I think it was something like
Denmark
Sweden,
or something.
Maybe Sweden.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But she did have a baby in the Big Brother house.
It happened.
Yeah.
Rachel like showed me it. I was like, okay, are you, this is, you're showing me this? Like,
hey, Matt Hoffman pulled the clip for me.
Oh, here we go. Yeah.
Matt Hoffman was pro this idea.
Yeah.
Great influence.
Well, okay. So Rachel, you're so committed to Big Brother. You love it so much. You would go in being pregnant and going in to go play. You know what a great opportunity this is. What did you make last week of Tyler, who was in a very good position in the game, then decided that he wanted to go home before the jury kicked off and he wanted to go up on the block?
Well, I'll be honest. I was very excited because I was like, oh, perfect. Daily.
Yeah.
Davon and Bailey
would have been saved. Daily would have been saved.
Bailey would have been saved. And,
is that what they call him?
No, they call him Bay Daddy.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. But Daily works too. But I was like, they'll both be in the house together. So this is great. Like, let's make it happen. Like, and it's kind of a game move because the girls could like take credit for it in the end and say they talked Tyler into leaving pre-jury. But I mean, I don't know. I think I was disappointed that he
It was just such a shit show. I mean, he was just all over the place. Like, what? Don't think he really had, it was like one of those things where they're improvising as they're talking and you're just like, it's just getting worse. And I mean, Rob, you're married. You know, when you start to say something to your beautiful wife and about halfway through, you're like, oh,
this is like, wait, just say, what were you going to say? What were you going to say? Nothing. I forgot. All right, you didn't forget.
It looks great on you.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yes.
No, you don't like that. No. No, I think like it was just disappointing that Tyler even brought it up and then went back on it and then was like, I can't do it. I can do it. It was just like push-pull.
Well, I listened to you guys and I heard you talk about him making the mistake of not having gone and secured whatever proposal he was making to Bailey and Davon beforehand. That way he's not promising and not delivering, right? Mm-hmm. It was stupid.
And also it's dumb for him to go and tell Christmas that because Christmas thinks she's his number one, right? So like,
and if he's been playing that up and all of a sudden you're like, hey, you don't mind if I go home this week, you on your HOA?
I know we have a final two deal, but you know,
I mean, you're doing great.
Don't you know? Think it was romantic though that Tyler wanted to leave the game to go out and be with Angela? Because that, I don't know if you know this, but last week it was Tyler's anniversary with Angela, and he sent her some flowers. You can see a nice bouquet, and Angela had shared this picture with the note from Tyler, which he sent to her. It said, I hope I'm home already, but if I'm not, I hope these make you happy today. Happy early anniversary, babe. I love you so much. Best 2 years of my entire life. Love, Tyler.
Yes, that is sweet. I did. You know what? I texted Angela. I was like, I did that same thing for Brendan when I was on The Amazing Race.
Yes.
For your graduation.
Except I had my daughter in one hand and my mother-in-law in the other.
That was very romantic.
It is romantic. It's so cute. I mean, I wonder if he wanted, if that was like a motivation for him, if he was just thinking about, you know, everything. Like, honestly, Brendan and I kept thinking, like, he probably just is thinking he's never going to win. He doesn't want to be here the rest of the summer. Like, he's got
I think so much going on. I mean, he was doing, but he was pretty strong, right? He was probably pretty strong up until this week, this past week. So all of a sudden, it's just like you just see him take a turn for the worse. And I don't know if it was approaching that at some point he did realize it's looking like it's looking a lot harder for him to get to the end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's probably like, I'd rather go home than stay here for another month and a half, 2 months. Like, who wouldn't?
And
right?
Especially if Davon and Bailey really want to be there. And then it's like he's kind of already second guessing it.
Yeah. But then in his head, I think he does see this as an opportunity. I can make myself look, you know, even if it wasn't. And Grant, I think Tyler probably didn't have malicious intent. But it's like, hey, why not? I can make it, you know, kind of look like I'm not like a valid reason. And also, he's probably just afraid of the fans, right? He's probably like, if I don't give them a reason, I try to leave, like the fans are going to attack me before I made it to my car. So, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, Rachel.
That's really my guess.
Yeah.
In Big Brother 13, when Brendan was evicted and you were still in the house, would you have left if you had to go to the jury house to go and be with Brendan?
I mean, I was going crazy. I think I was like really, really, I was crying every day because I knew he went the week before jury and I thought I was going to go the week after. So it was we're going to be separated the rest of the summer. I did like lose my stuff. Like, it is hard because you start thinking like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be first to jury and I'm going to spend a month and a half in jury.
By far the best was Big Jeff, because when I got back, Big Jeff just had this look on his face like, oh my God, what did you leave me with? And he was just like, she's a wreck.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, Big Jeff, would you rather spend another week with Rachel or fight a giant mosquito?
Yeah. That's where he got the idea for that. You planted it in his head.
Yeah, I think it is hard, though, thinking about it.
Yeah.
Especially when you realize, like, this is the last week before jury. Oh, my gosh, it's, like, real, you know?
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's in terms of, like, having a goal, I mean, we've heard way too many people talk about these last few seasons about making it to jury. Yeah. Like, in there, I think you do want to make it to jury because you feel like at least I've made it to jury, right? You know, it's like not being the first one to go home. You just want to make it a jury to at least for yourself to know I at least made it that far. But beyond that, I think you need to start thinking a little bit further. And some of these people just, I think, see themselves making it to jury, you know, and not seeing the future like Danielle, but at least trying to see a little bit beyond just making it to jury.
Well, we've seen in the past few seasons, a lot of people just wanting to, you know, make it to jury just for their stipend or whatever.
Yeah.
And just for the Instagram followers. And so it's like really disappointing. And they even say, some of them, I just want to make jury. I don't care what happens after jury. And you're like, why are you here?
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, I mean, even going back to Tyler, I think we also kind of, a lot of people forget when you're in that house, like it makes you a little crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and a lot of times you go in there, especially the second time, probably romanticizing a little bit, because Tyler had a relatively good season, right? His first time around, comes back in and things don't start going the way he thinks. And he might have romanticized how this was going to go. And he's just like,
I think he also thought, didn't he think Casey would be there? So he probably thought
that's what I'm saying.
I think she was supposed to be there. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But she's on the challenge.
Yes, she's going to be on the challenge.
Yeah.
Rachel.
COVID-19.
have you had the chance to speak with Janelle since she's been out of the house?
I did. Yes, we are actually. We're all planning. I spoke with Janelle and Bailey. We're all planning a girls' trip to Napa in April, which will be very fun.
Is that where the wedding's at?
No, the wedding is not in Napa. But yeah, I mean, she's very happy to be out. You know, like I think she wanted, obviously, would have loved to be there playing. But she's very happy that she didn't have to deal with the whatever game this is that they're playing this season.
Yes. Were you happy that your friend Janelle ended up defending your honor from the rivalry from The Amazing Race 31 into the house? I asked Phil Kogan recently if he was aware that a storyline that started on The Amazing Race made its way into Big Brother. He pleaded the fifth. He didn't want to talk about it.
2 years later.
It's like Inception.
I know.
Yeah.
It's like Marvel Universe now, you know?
No, yeah. I love
it. It's been
Janelle,
a couple of
obviously.
Seasons and a couple of reasons, and this feud has continued.
Yeah. Couple, I don't know. Like, I think it's just, it's not even about The Amazing Race. Like, yes, this all started, well, maybe, but it's like we've seen Nicole play, and it's...
I mean, okay, let's admit it. It's Rachel's fault. You know, when they tried to help Nicole and Victor... Rachel just shouldn't have.
Well, that is true.
For that,
yes,
you will be eternally, you know.
But I don't even understand what is really the basis for the rivalry where that Janelle came in and she wanted to work with Nicole, right, in this season. Do I have that right, Pooya?
What was it?
Janelle had wanted to work with Nicole coming into the season.
Yeah, like from what I gathered, she was going to come in bygones be bygones and be okay and put it past her, because I mean that's the kind of person Janelle is. Like, she's not going to let other things come into this and, you know, cause a ruckus and again, this is not like it was like 4 months. This was 2 years ago. Like, things of seasons have changed. So. Yeah. Definitely, like, it was a new leaf. It was supposed to be a new leaf, but alas, that's not how it went down.
Yeah. Janelle didn't seem to have any sort of animosity towards Nicole, from what I understand, right? But Nicole felt like that Janelle was starting rumors about her.
Yeah, I mean, that's the classic, you know, Nicole Franzel move, right? Mm-hmm. So,
your brand is watching!
Yeah. I mean... Stop. I don't want to even talk about it.
I know. I understand. I understand.
I don't want to talk about Amazing Race drama, but I mean, to be honest, I think Janelle went into the house to play for $500,000 because she loves Big Brother. She loves the game. She wanted to win. She's played, you know, three times now, and this is her fourth time. So she wants to go in there and be there for a reason. She doesn't have anything to prove. And then I think the outside influences of whatever goes on in Nicole Franzel's binder came back up.
Did you know about the binder?
Not until the live feed.
I'm just curious as to know how many times Rachel appears in her binder.
Yeah, she has a binder where if you say something about her, she puts it out, cuts it out and puts it in the binder.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like a movie. Like a plot line
it
to
was.
A movie.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's just, how about this then? Because I know that you don't like to get into the personal stuff. So let's just talk about from a game perspective in terms of where Nicole is right now in Big Brother 22. That do you like her position in the game? Do you think that she could be on a trajectory to win for a second time?
I never see her winning. There's absolutely no way. And especially with Ian going home, I think has no shot of winning. I think that she's going to be the next, as Enzo calls them, champions to go home. Mm-hmm. Because everyone's always looking for a reason to go after someone in Big Brother. Now, Nicole's playing a game where she's not a threat, right? Because she doesn't win and she cries and she's, you know, seems... whatever to the boys. However, she's also getting on a lot of their like radar because I think they're like annoyed with her and they're annoyed with Danielle. And the truth is like, is Danielle going to turn on Nicole when Nicole starts talking about Danielle? Like, are we going to see, I mean, obviously they're already turning on each other.
Well, and also to be considering, you know, if we're calling people all stars and you're coming in with a win under your belt and you're not playing with all winners and there's two of you, to earn that title one more time, I think you have to do a little bit more than the average person in that house.
100%.
So you can't do, if you do the same or less, you're probably not going to be getting those votes in the end because you're going to still have these people that are going to hold that against you, whether they say it or not. You know, so I think you got to be a Sandra. You know, you have to perform well to get that second bout. You know, that second title.
And I don't see that there's anyone she could be sitting next to except Ian and Wynn. And so at this point, I don't think she, there's, I don't think she
the
has.
The only scenario I think is she gets next to somebody that gets the Paul hate, you know? She gets somebody with that same sort of level of like where people just are out to screw who's ever sitting next to her. But I don't think that
there's nobody like that.
Though. Well, I'm saying in a season where a lot of people know each other outside of the game, I think there's a lot less likelihood that that's what it becomes, yeah. Right? The jury vote.
I think that off the top of my head, the only other person I can think of definitively right now would be David. And that's because everyone's already looking at him like a rookie, no matter what he does at this point, which is hard for him. But I do think I agree. Like the makeup of the people in the house and what they value, she's not giving them that. They're valuing the competitions. She's not giving them that. They're valuing someone who's like playing. She is right now today has been in tears about the whole Ian thing when it's like, you're a winner. Hold yourself a little higher. Everything's gone right for you so far. So when you're turning on the waterworks right now, it's a sign of weakness. And it's a sign of, well, I'm not going to really take you all that seriously moving. So that's my personal belief. I know that there's some people that believe that she has a shot at the second title. But I think that the further we're getting into this game, the more bleak it looks for me as well. But the game she does play does allow her to get to the end often. And I think this will also still allow her to get closer to the end, but I don't see her being able to navigate that little bit of, you know, final six, final five maneuvering to make it to that final two ultimately.
Well, I don't think that these boys value that. Like Enzo, if he's in the end, Nicole's cut. Like she's a brigade casualty. I think same thing with Cody. Like I think Cody doesn't value that because they see it like, I mean, legitimately, for literally from just game, this is not anything personal. It has nothing to do with Nicole this week. Like, Devon won the veto. Danielle won HOH. Like, Ian going on the block has... Why is, like, Nicole crying and lying to Ian? She's still lying to him. So it's just, like, it makes no sense. Like, if she wants to sit there and cry, she needs to do something.
So this is, I think, a very pivotal week in her game with this Ian situation. That do you think there is anything that she could do to get this Ian vote flipped around?
Not unless
I don't think so.
Enzo wants to bury her.
It's a common sense vote.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of times where I think the people in general are not looking. Mm-hmm. They're not out to vote out Ian. They weren't out to vote out Ian this week. But then you have to stop at some point and realize you're like, wait. I'm going to vote out Kevin over Ian.
Yeah. Right.
Kevin's not, down. Tyler.
Oh, Tyler and Ian?
So Tyler could go home.
Ian gets the Ian gets the vote. Because Tyler's still... I don't think they convince him to flip on Tyler.
They can't convince those boys to flip on Tyler. David's never flipping on Tyler.
Well, and, no, I think that David... Puya, would David vote to evict Tyler?
I think David would end up being, now David's a little bit, you know, closer with the Kevin and Devon of it all. So I think he could, but I think ultimately the factors that go against this happening, there's a couple things. So first of all, Tyler's seen as a bigger threat, no matter what, for comps ultimately. And I think right now they've been spooked with, you know, Kevin's won a veto, Devon just won a veto for the first time on a competition. So they're a little bit spooked on that. They're going to want to keep him there. And he's also a target ahead of the boys. You know, Cody sees him as a target ahead of him. Also, the other thing is that Ian, also looking at the stuff Nicole's doing right now, the emotion she's showing, Ian is so clearly her piece on the puzzle that no one else has really access to. Whereas, you know, Tyler's someone that they all somewhat feel like, oh, I've talked to him. I feel somewhat comfortable with him. Whereas the only person that really feels that entire comfort is Nicole. With a side of like, you know, he's talked to Kevin a little bit and stuff, but that's the only person that feels like in their future plans, Ian should be there. So this is a very easy for that whole alliance too of like, let's bring Nicole closer into the fold by taking out the one other avenue she had to go from here.
My big question with this, and Puya, maybe you know the answer to this, that does Nicole really want Ian to stay, or is Nicole concerned about appearances of that, hey, we got spoken to by production about making fun of Ian. I need to really show people that I am very upset, but I am willing to let him go. Because I kind of feel like that in terms of like how we've seen Nicole in the past, that I don't think she takes disappointment well. And I think that she will move hell and earth and heaven and earth and everything in between to make sure she likes to get her way.
Yeah.
She doesn't take an L easily.
No. No, she's definitely not the type of person to want to take that L. I do think that I honestly, genuinely do think that them getting the warning about kind of the things that have happened with Ian has definitely brought on a little bit more of a friendliness to Ian than we had. Mm-hmm. I do remember specifically a conversation where she was like, you know, if you're one of my genuine friends here, our friendship is worth a lot. And
is
that came
he
up
in the wedding party?
I mean,
did
is
he get
gonna
upgraded
get
to groomsman?
Well, he wasn't invited.
So. Oh, well, he maybe that look. Does, that
maybe he gets comped for it. Maybe he gets the all expenses
well, let's
paid.
Let's not get carried away. Let's not get carried away. Okay. But that being said, I just feel like that if Nicole wants Ian to stay, I feel like that he still has a snowball's chance of staying. If that's what Nicole wants, because I believe in her tenacity and her the ability to really not let this go if this is what she wants.
But she's also already giving up on it a little bit. I think he's more of a shield for her as in a winner. And I really don't. I think the diary room stuff, making fun of him, had a little bit to do with it. But I think when it comes down to it, she probably, and maybe Derek drilled this in her head pregame, but like she probably thinks the only way she's winning ever is if Ian's next to her.
For sure.
Because it's like, who, if you have two winners, one winner has to be a second winner. But
Derek
if you have,
wouldn't tell her the only way you're winning is with Cody next to you.
I know, right? Good point. Maybe he did. But
write this down. Maybe Nicole, get a pen.
Someone else told her.
The only way you win is next to Cody.
Yeah. If it was me and I was in there as one of the only winners, I would want a winner next to me because I would say you either have to have a David or a winner.
Okay.
Because,
so Rachel, you would go to the end with Nicole Franzel, final two deal.
I also,
absolutely not.
You know, I also just
for game,
Okay.
But no, I would not. No, but I would pair up with Ian. My first night, if I saw Ian in that house, the first night, I would literally go to him and say, listen, we have to make a final two. We're the only winners. Or even if Franzel was in there, I would say we're some of the only winners. There needs to be two winners in the end. It needs to be, you know, this way. Otherwise, we don't have a chance. And I would convince him that the entire season to keep me around.
And I'd be in the other corner saying, we need to get rid of the winners immediately.
But I mean, that's like the thing that makes the most sense. You want it. Like, why are you letting the winners still play if they're the only two previous winners? It doesn't make any sense.
You know, in terms of who they're going to vote out, I'd also say this, that when you're in that house, like the competitions that you've seen up until now will also dictate what you think is coming next. Mm-hmm. And for me, like when we had a lot of physical competitions already, I knew that there's likelihood that we're going to see some more mental comps of some sort. So that's why for me, I start being more worried about a Matt Hoffman or about an Ian. You know, because these are people that are all around and can tend to win because of their tiny little feet. Oh, Matt Hoffman, got you.
Or because they have everything memorized. And when it's like that final three where they're like, you know, you have to put the blocks up and remember everything that happened the entire season. That's like an Ian competition right there.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I think even though we say a snowball chance, that I just don't see Nicole convincing people. And then if it did come to a 4-4 vote, I don't think Danielle is going to turn on Tyler because she wouldn't have nominated Ian at this point. She's going to view it as like, okay, Tyler, well, look, I'll save you. But like everything's squashed. Like,
and also Tyler's kind of sunk his own. I mean, to some degree, he's kind of like sunk his own game. I just think that why would you, I mean, there's a lot of people that are going to be like, well, we'll get rid of Tyler next week. That's going to be become a conversation, right? We're getting rid of him next week or the week after, but it's not such a big deal. But there's no way he's going to stick around and win because nobody's going to trust him.
And
right?
Technically, Danielle needs to keep Tyler because he's a bigger
shield
for
100%.
Him. She's going to be if Tyler goes, Danielle is like a huge target, you know. So it's like, why would you get rid of someone that's a big? As target as you or a possible bigger target. She needs him because Ian is after this week, people will forget about Ian.
Yeah.
Let me bring in some questions from our listeners. And if you have a question in the YouTube chat, go ahead and send it in and we'll bring some into the conversation. This is from a new Twitter account. Mother Taryn. I'm not sure if this is a Taryn parody account or her name is Taryn.
It is
a Taryn parody account.
It's a Taryn parody account that specifically goes after and is not a fan of the Spoiler Girl account, and they have a feud.
Okay.
So that's a thing in the Twitter streets.
Really, yeah. I didn't even know about the Taryn Twitter accounts fighting with each other. But anyway, okay.
Dimension.
Mother Taryn says, give Rachel the virtual bullhorn. What carefully crafted statements would you yell over the wall to spice up this season? This season could use a little something. Of course, in Big Brother 12, a lot of people said it got boring after Brendan and Rachel were out of the house. Of course, one of the few highlights was when you came in and fought with Reagan back in the house. So what would you do if you had the opportunity to yell some things over the wall? I know Cody is not a fan.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know, because I feel like there's so many people I want to blow up their game.
Whatever I yell, it won't change anything.
That's actually the best thing to yell, because nobody listens. I think it would have to be about, you know, Cody's and Nicole final two. Again, I know.
Hold on. Well, that's it. That's what the real wall yeller would yell.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know.
Wait.
I would just start yelling, Floaters grab a life vest, Nicole.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, we'll see what happens then. She wouldn't be very happy, so at least it would give us some entertainment.
Okay.
I mean, at this point, I would just be yelling stuff like for entertainment purposes.
Like what, yeah. Brendan?
That's like, you know, I mean, the pandemic's been over for 2 months. They're lying to you.
Wow. Okay. So what would they do then? They would leave?
Yeah. They're still playing Big Brother.
It would at least make it more interesting, you know? Mm-hmm.
Oh, they would take off their mask on Thursday night when they go out into the audience.
Cody's related to one of the people in the house. Mm-hmm.
Cody's related to Pauly Calafiore. What? What? This is Pauly Calafiore's brother? What a twist. Okay.
I know you swap them out the twins.
Yes, I saw this on Twitter that you two, that I time flies, have celebrated your 10-year anniversary. Now, what date do you mark that back to? Is this like down to like a specific day in the Big Brother house?
Whatever Twitter tells us.
Yeah.
Whenever a super fan lets us know that we met 10 years
ago. Or that we kissed in the hammock.
That's official.
Typically.
It's like in June. So I think June. It was when we first kissed. Oh, no, you're right. Sorry, July 6th or something.
Yeah, see, imagine one woman. You know, yeah. Never forget it.
There you go. Okay.
No, but it is funny though, because someone also reminded me. Hannah Horn told me that my anniversary for winning Big Brother was also recently.
Yeah, she's a real super fan, because every day she tweets to me and says, "Hey, when are you going to have Brendan and Rachel on the podcast?"
I got to send her a weekly stipend for tweeting you that. You know,
is this your publicist?
Yeah,
Hannah Horn Hayes.
No, we love her. She's so sweet.
Yeah, she's a number one fan. I saw a question about would you two play in a shortened legend season? I think I know the answer to this.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that would be manageable.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point in time, so many people can't really leave for 100 days. So if you could squeeze in like a 39-day season or a 30-day season, or I don't know, what was Celebrity? How long was it?
It was 3 weeks, so it was like 22 days.
Okay, I mean, that's really true.
Like, as long as you made the
range. I mean, I think you'd actually get everyone to come back, right?
Yeah. Everyone you want.
Everyone you want. Yeah.
Brendan,
in that case, yeah.
Yeah,
I think we would.
Then are you hoping that they never do it so that you aren't potentially home with two babies?
Yeah. And a mother-in-law?
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yes.
So.
They're doing. Congratulations! It's coming in January.
Maybe you both go. Maybe Why can't Brendan go also?
Yeah. Why can't I go?
Okay.
Oh.
Man, you have to deal with. Wow. It's like your stepping stool over here. Mm-hmm. You know. Well, if we go in, I might have I could have a secret alliance, or maybe I have a secret enemy. If we have a. Well, do you think I'm making a pumpkin?
Yes.
Oh God.
Yes.
Is it Eric Stein? Oh.
What is it? You made an Eric Stein pumpkin. And what is it? Ex friend / backstabber is the lower third. What is the meaning of that, Brendan?
Well, I don't know if you probably don't recall this because you were quite busy, Rob. But at your party we went to, it was your 10-year.
Yes, yes, the 10-year anniversary of Rob's podcast.
Eric Stein and I spent a considerable amount of time having drinks together, having excellent time, and then I proceeded to sign up for Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yes.
And then he promptly said he had to go to the restroom.
And then never came back.
I was like, got the guy to hold it for like a minute. Then I had to go on by myself. And I kept announcing Eric Stein, come up to the front. And needless to say, I did not see him until the song was over. So this is official a rivalry. Wow.
What a crazy night that was.
My big brother out of the house.
Yeah.
So. You know, so this is gonna be my pumpkin this year.
That was a lot of work for that.
How it goes?
Yeah. Okay. Wow. So Eric Stein has lost a friend.
I figure if we create a rivalry before we go in, we're a lock, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My man, what is good?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
nothing is good right now. That's what happened. Okay.
Good.
All right. Let's see. How about a question? This is from Jar Jar Jacobs. How does Rachel feel about playing a bigger role this season than half the cast? You've created more drama in this house than so many of these people that were even in the season.
You know, that is the Rachel Riley effect, as they say.
As they say, you've seen this.
Yeah.
Twitter.
Let me ask you this. So I was watching a live feed clip today, and Danny was talking about what it was like to play with you, Rachel. And she talked about how that, you know, you play a role and you create a lot of drama. But she talks about that you sat on her at one point. Do you know what is the, can you tell this story? What is going on?
I never sat on her. She's so dramatic. I know.
Fake news.
Yeah. No, so she had just evicted Brendan twice. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Do you want me to pull the clip?
Sure. You can pull the tapes.
Okay.
I don't need to go that far back.
Yeah. Okay. All right, let me give.
Do we have it?
Or, yeah, hold on. You got to give me. I don't have it. I don't have it right in front of me.
Oh, okay.
Here, let's bring in. Let's.
So,
bring,
I saw someone on Twitter. Great.
Okay. All right.
So basically, what happened was she had just evicted Brendan twice, and we were at I think it was like a veto ceremony or something, and I was so mad at her, and I sat right next to her at the table, and she like scooched over like.
Yeah.
So I went like this, scooting back over toward her, but I did not touch her. And then she scooted over again. So of course I scooted back over toward her.
Mm-hmm.
She was not pleased.
You know, solving problems like adults.
Yeah, exactly.
In typical Big Brother fashion.
Yeah.
And then she called me out too. And I proceeded to say that I was not sitting on her. I was sitting on the seat or chair or something.
Because I also saw a clip on Reddit today where you were following her around the house asking her a million questions.
About her birthday. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
It was her birthday party.
Okay. Here. I have the clip. Here's Danny talking about Big Brother 13 and Rachel Riley.
Can you all leave? I remember on 13, I got a letter from my grandma, and I hated everyone so much, I refused to read it to them.
Really? Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I really didn't like people. I told them earlier, I was like, this is the first time I've ever won HOH where the house is like not all fully somber.
Mm. Oh, yeah, because on 13, it was war.
Oh, yeah, everyone, like, I won, and everyone's like,
it was war.
So when the house is like that, how's breakfast in the morning? Like, how, like?
Everything's tense 24/7. It's awful.
You come and make breakfast, and you're like.
Not a fun party it's like awful. This house.
It's not enjoyable at all. Yes. Like, everything is not enjoyable.
Every moment.
Everything is tense.
Like, waiting in the restroom, just like, ugh.
Yeah, if you have to see someone, you're just like disgusted.
Oh my God.
Were you ever like that on your season?
Oh, 18 years.
Yeah, with like Polly and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you like the sight of them just makes your skin crawl and you're like, this is
bad. Oh, that sounds like, why you want to even be here? Like,
it was awful. Rachel sat on me at the nomination.
I remember that.
Sat on you?
Yeah, we used to have benches, not chairs. And she came and sits right next to me where like her butt cheek was on me. And I was like, if you don't get off of me, I'm going to punch you in the face.
Did that happen?
I don't think there was a butt cheek on her, but you know, who knows? Maybe.
Were you worried that the production was going to kick you out?
Not for sitting at the table next to her.
What were you worried about getting kicked out for?
No, I don't think I did anything to get kicked out. Because if there's physical action, physical touching, you can't do that.
You can't do a Russell chest bump.
Yeah.
Or a Jordan chest bump. Right?
Yeah. I think chest bumps are illegal now. But no, I didn't like touch her.
Yeah.
But there, you know, maybe there was a butt cheek touching. I don't really remember.
Mm-hmm. Could you imagine the news reports if Rachel Riley got kicked off of Big Brother for sitting on somebody?
That would be great. That would be a headline for TMZ right there.
Mm-hmm. I know. They would definitely have to get more angles of was the cheek on it?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Here, let's see if there's anything else here.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
About it.
Like, I don't do that. I don't, like, do that to people. Why are you sitting on me? She made my life.
She was trying to get under your skin.
Oh, yeah. It worked.
She was trying to get
under your skin. Now I'm friends with her. See?
Okay.
Full circle.
See? It's a happy ending.
Said friends.
She did, yeah.
Okay.
So, you know,
Rachel, if you were invited to Nicole Franzl's wedding, would you sit on Danny Briones?
No, not unless she asked.
Okay. All right. We have somebody here to ask you a question and talk with us for a bit. Maggie Morgan is here. Maggie, how are you?
I am so excited. This is crazy. I'm here with Brenchel. What?
Like,
13, season 13 was my first season of Big Brother ever. And I was like cheering for you to win on finale night in your blue dress. It's like my biggest Big Brother memory. So this is crazy.
Yes. Did you put your finale dress on eBay and did another contestant buy it yet?
No, that did not happen.
Okay.
All right. I didn't even put it on eBay. Maybe I need to.
Okay. Maggie, and the dress from your photo shoot also. Put that on eBay, too. Okay.
I should put all these dresses on
That's
eBay.
Not a bad idea.
I know.
Brennan's like,
that
please.
Was brilliant, yes. By the way. Right? The photo shoot. Brilliant.
Thank you. Thank you, Maggie.
So, Maggie, what do you want to ask Brendan and Rachel?
Well, I know you guys talked a little bit earlier about Danny, and I have a question for you guys about the moves that she's making this week, because like she said on the episode, like she's scared because she doesn't want to make the same mistakes in 13 that she made in 13. But I actually see what she's doing by not getting out Tyler as the same mistake that she made in your season, because the biggest problem I think that she ran into on both 13 and now is that she didn't prep anybody before she made her strike. Like, she didn't go around to people in the house and try and gather troops. Like, I don't know why she didn't go to Adam and Shelley and all of those people on your season and try to get them on her side before she struck at you guys. The same way why I don't know why she didn't try and turn like Kevin and Day and Memphis against, and Cody all against Tyler. So I was going to ask you guys about that dynamic.
Well, I think I remember her on 13 trying to get Shelly and Adam to be turned up, to turn on us. Because I know she definitely got Shelly to turn on Jeff, which was like, even after Danielle left, that was like a big deal. Because the only reason I think Shelly evicted Jeff over me when Jeff and I were on the block was because of Danielle. Because Danielle had convinced them the whole time that they needed to get rid of Jeff. So I think she did do that. I think her problem was on 13, and we told her this, like, once Brendan goes, then it's Jeff, and then it's going to be her versus Jeff. And then it's just like, we're like, don't get into a war with us because you're going to, you know, it's just going to benefit everyone else. Same thing on this season.
Well, she was still seen as a vet then,
yeah.
You know, she for some reason viewed herself, because she was hanging out with like the newbies, that she almost assimilated and was a newbie, but she wasn't. She was always going to be viewed as a vet. Now, I mean, I think she still is viewed as a very tough player because this is her third time, right? And she still gets viewed as being a tough player. And I don't think Danielle will ever go off anyone's radar. The mistake she makes is putting herself in positions where she has to make decisions, and she doesn't need to be doing it. Like, that's, again, I know she's trying to build a resume, but she's building it too soon. She has to like run it out a little bit longer before she starts making big moves. Cause
her biggest mistake was getting rid of Janelle, because Janelle would have always been a bigger target than her. And I think that's the same thing. It was like, if you went, she went to war against Janelle and Kesar and they ended up going home. So now it's like, people are going to easily look at her as a target.
Well, and her mistake is always trusting guys over girls. Like, she, I mean, well, I take it back. She trusted Kalia in season 13. But this season, like, that's what I feel. I mean, okay, the thing with Nicole, I felt like had to have been a preseason thing. So, okay, maybe they got this. But she's already feeling like there's a rift there, right? So I don't know. I think that she always tends to want to get rid of a girl before the guy, you know?
Well, I don't know, because I think – with what's going on now, I really think Danielle is trying to keep the alliance together. Whereas on season 13, she didn't try to keep the alliance together. So I think she is trying to do different things in that like respect. However, in this situation, she needs to break up the alliance. And like, you know, in season 13, she was always the lesser target. So maybe she doesn't see that. But I think ultimately, keeping Tyler will be better for her game over Ian.
Tyler definitely better for Ian, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if we even answered any sort of question.
She was playing very similar to season 13. I do think she's playing with the stuff that she does that we don't always see on the episode.
She just does unnecessary stuff and she does it too early. That's what it boils down to, you know? Because she's got the talent and the skill to win competitions. She just needs to do it when it's appropriate, time appropriate. And early on, I mean, let these guys win all these competitions, you know, let them, because more reason for you just to say, hey, what about Enzo, who's already won like three competitions?
Well, if Cody would have won, it would have been a totally different week, because even if Cody nominated, you know, Kevin and David, David uses the power. Cody doesn't put, you know, maybe Cody put up Ian at first instead of even putting up Tyler. So I don't know, maybe Davon wouldn't have even had the motivation to win the veto. So who knows what would have happened, but they wouldn't have been on Danielle.
Yeah,
that's true. So I have a couple questions and I can't help myself. It's two questions. It'll be quick. I promise. So first one is, so you've obviously, both of you have played with Enzo, who's in the house right now. You've played with Danny, who's in this, one from 12, one from 13. So if you were to, if let's say the two of them said no, and they were like, hey, Brenchel, can you pick one from each of your seasons to come back? And this is inspired by seeing your Captain Kosher t-shirt on you, Brendan. I don't know if you're going to go that direction.
Really, but catch that. Yeah.
Well, who would you pick from each season if you were picking one from each to be on this All-Star season? And it wasn't yourselves, of course.
I think for me, it's always a Matt Hoffman. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously we love Brittany. You know, and there's so many good people from
my Brittany's
season,
already come back.
Brittany's come back. So I think I would have loved to see Matt play again, because he...
Matt's not afraid to play.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. I think, well, I saw somebody tweet this today, I think. We're now in a season where it's like the last few seasons. You just, everyone's afraid to like win. Everyone's afraid to compete. Everyone's afraid to like get their hands dirty. Everyone's afraid to like strategize. So you just see a bunch of people walking around making deals with everybody, and it goes nowhere and it's boring to watch. So I think somebody like Matt's not afraid to game, not afraid to play.
Well, Matt's not afraid to turn on people either, which is kind of like something you have to do in Big Brother a little bit. You have to be loyal to, like, you know, a few people, right? Of course. But you do come, there does come a point where you can't be in a six-person alliance. Like, it just doesn't work.
Like, season 13, I would have, I'm not going to lie, okay, I told Rachel this, I would have loved to have seen Keith come back. Keith, yeah. Just so much.
Keith Angel, sure.
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, I'm not going to expect all-star material out of him, but I'm expecting somebody to give me something that I will watch.
Yeah.
And that's at least, I think we need a balance of that, because, you know, with Big Brother, you need a spectrum of players. We can't have too many of the same players, because then we just end up watching a big majority of lions just move through the house and win a bunch of competitions, and it's boring. Mm-hmm. So you need lots of diversity in types of players, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, Keith would have really been fun. He would have been messy.
And Shelly's a good player,
Shelly is a good player.
I think Shelly
would do it again, wouldn't she?
I don't know. But I think Shelly gets underrated as a good player. But she's very strategic in how she plays Big Brother. Mm-hmm. So, you know. So, I mean, I think we need a little bit more. We keep saying this. Like, what would have made the season different? Like, if they had put a Danielle Reyes in the season, would we have seen things go way different? Because you would have had at least, like, a motherly figure. So people would have maybe been a little bit more careful about how they treated people or what they said in front of other people. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm just wondering if there's some older players that would have come to this game and maybe given them,
right,
like, been, like, a little bit more of a – of like a mother hand or
and
a father
stop
hand.
Stop bringing back people from Big Brother 16 that they yeah. only know one way how to play, and it's the most boring thing to watch.
Yeah.
Enough.
Yeah, it is. And that's the problem. I think it's the boring people that are just kind of sitting around waiting for things to happen. And, you know,
at least
go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, at least if they were fun like you guys, but they're like just like they don't even have any life to them. They're just kind of like hanging out, you know?
I know. That's what I keep saying too. I'm like, when we were on 13, we played games and we did like little dress up shows and like, you know, I remember The Wonderful, like he put on a whole show. We did a trash bag wedding. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah. I mean, when we came back on, I guess I kept saying to in both of us, like, we want to win, but we want to enjoy the experience because Big Brother, it's tough. It's a hard game. And if you're just like in that house worrying about the game 24/7, which you do, it gets extremely stressful. Yeah. So any way that you can kind of break up the monotony. I mean, Adam and I had a hot dog eating contest and God knows I had no shot. I mean, I don't even know why I even proposed that, you know,
but we play Big Booty every night.
Big Booty,
too.
Yeah.
Big Booty. Yeah. You gave us some great gifts, right?
Yeah, we did some skits all the time. It was like, we did have fun. I mean, we played the game, we had fun. Even when we were fighting with each other, we still were kind of like having fun with each other.
And I think that's probably more reminiscent of like the first All-Star season they had. Because that's what I felt like All-Star season, the first All-Star was. It was like being able to like, it's like with the people who are like, oh, when I'm business, I'm business. When I'm off, I like to have fun. And I think that's kind of how it was. Yeah. It's like we know how to separate a little bit so that we can still enjoy ourselves, you know?
Yeah. My final question is, so not only is this, you know, summer marking the 10-year anniversary of you two as a lovely couple, but also it marks the 10-year anniversary of you guys gracing us on TV and on reality TV specifically. And you've been on a bunch of shows since then. You've been on Big Brother.
What a decade.
You've been on Amazing Race. You've been on Fear Factor. So naturally, the next question for me and the final question for me is, if you had to be on another show, but it's not one of the shows you've already been on, what piques your interest? What's next for Brenchel?
It rhymes with Perviver.
Perviver. Survivor. I don't know how that rhymes with Perviver. I mean, yes, it does. I don't know where that came from.
Okay, it rhymes with MacGyver.
Okay.
No, never mind.
For me, it's got to be Love Island.
I'm just
pregnant on Love Island.
Yes. That could be sort of like a cautionary tale for the characters on Love Island. Like, all right, you think it's all fun and games? This could be you.
And Rachel comes storming out of the back.
Exactly. The next.
Yeah. Floaters, grab a prophylactic.
Exactly. Oh. I mean, Rachel always says Survivor. Yeah. Obviously, I think for us, I mean, easier said than done, obviously, as I'm sure every single person that's ever gone on that show has experienced. But I think for us, it's the time that's always the issue, right? Because Rachel was gone for 30 days, and it's still hard to imagine being away from your kids for 30 days. Yeah. And how people do it for 100 days is like crazy. Like, even Janelle just going in there from three kids, I'm just thinking from a perspective of having one and one second one on the way. It's like it kills you. It just eats at you, you know? So I don't know, but I think Survivor would be the one.
Survivor would be fun too for us.
But, Well,
again, but everyone says that.
Yes. Yeah. It would be great to see, and it would also mean that Survivor was back on the air. So we would all be, it would be a win-win for all of us.
Big yes. win-win.
Hey, I have a proposal. It's yes. teams of Survivor, me and Janelle. And I don't know, Brendan and Eric.
No, Eric is ops.
We're
feuding. Yeah, I know, but that's why it's good.
Blood versus water.
Well, yeah, exactly. Maybe me and Alyssa and Janelle. I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. We'll see. We'll see. All right. Brendan, Rachel, anything else that you guys want to tell us?
Oh, I'm on Book Cameo now.
Yes, I saw that. I did see that. And
how yes. much are you?
I know. I saw it today. I saw it. I was on there.
Yeah, I think I'm $34.99. Wait.
This is how much?
$34.99.
Okay. That's a steal. That's a steal.
Yeah.
All right. Can you give him a preview? I want to hear the good stuff.
Oh, I did it. I filmed it last night. I said, "Hi, I'm in the beautiful Santa Monica Beach because I spend a lot of time here pregnant."
Oh, yes. That was for your
for my
sampler?
Book cameo. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, wait to get to know you all.
No, what? That is yeah. That's a big steal. That Rachel Riley only $35 because there are many.
Well, I heard Matt Hoffman was charging.
Yeah, well, no, definitely was... you're the, here. Let me give you some Big Brother names that are more expensive than Rachel Riley on Cameo. Okay, more expensive than Rachel Riley. Zach Rantz, $55. Kato Kaelin.
He's probably giving pretty good material. Yeah. You know, he's jumping off of something.
It's true.
I mean,
wait, who else?
Dr. Will's down to $149. He used to be $1,000.
All right. I mean, I'm definitely asking him to look at something if I'm paying $149.
Yes, see, that is, is this mole here? Is this?
It's cheaper, actually.
Let's see. Who else is more expensive? Nicole Anthony, $45.
Oh,
okay.
I mean, she's fresh off. She can still ride the glide, you know.
Yeah. I'm telling you, this is a good deal. Pauly Calafiore also is the same price.
Oh, hey.
Oh, hey.
So,
I mean, he's got a lot of challenges under his belt, so he's still.
Yeah.
Oh, look at this. This is such a good deal that you're getting Rachel for $35 when Jackson Mickey costs $50.
Okay. That one a little off there.
That one costs $50.
What if I am like $10, but if Rachel and I do it together, it's like only $5 more. What if you do the?
Well, I kind of always think people probably think that they're getting you when they buy me.
Yeah,
you know,
still a sure, good deal because listen, for $40, you're getting Holly Allen, 24 Wyoming.
Wow.
And for $45, you could get Elena Davies.
Hey, yo.
So we'll what see. A deal, $35 for
I
Rachel.
I tried to make it affordable.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I just don't think I can ever do it because it's just a lot of pressure to sound so cool for like how long? I mean, how long is it? A minute?
I got a cameo for my birthday once from a friend. Someone ordered me a Pauly Calafiore cameo.
Yes.
And my friend thought they were being hilarious because I'm an actor. And so they asked Pauly to please give me acting tips.
Oh.
So I got a 2-minute long acting lesson from Pauly Calafiore on my cameo.
Yeah, that was obviously.
That's worth your $50.
Yeah. Perhaps.
What were the tips, Maggie?
To always believe in myself and make sure that when criticism comes, to not listen to it because actors get beat down a lot by criticism.
Mm.
So thanks, Pauly, if you're listening.
Yes.
Appreciate that. Yes.
He takes criticism very well.
Yeah. Wait, so Rob, you're an expert on this. How long do you have to do these? You have to do them right away?
I think 3 to 4 days.
Okay.
Is what you have. Okay. If you need any tips.
Like you're like, which template should I
use? I got some messages. Some people tell you what to say.
Do you have a PG-13 or R1 and NC-17?
And you know, you can send me a direct message that I will respond to for $1.99.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. So check out Rachel on Cameo.
$2.
Yeah. Oh look, I've already made money.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind. This
was
such a bad idea.
Okay.
No, I'm starting to come around. On this.
All right.
I made $3 in direct messages.
You're on fire. And when is the baby coming?
November-ish. They said, I think it'll come in October, the end of October.
Okay.
You know, because she just knows.
All right. Well, keep your eyes peeled, okay? All right. So for the Brenchel Baby number two, of course, Rachel, where can people keep tabs on everything you're doing?
At Rachel E. Riley Villegas on Instagram and at Rachel E. Riley on Twitter, although I'm private right now.
Okay. So you're more active on the Insta.
Well, I'm in between Z's.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think in the beginning when her name was getting, you know, brought up a lot, she also was getting burnt out on Twitter
because
every other person was notifying her. Yeah. Of, you know,
have you considered only posting your Big Brother tweets on Instagram now?
I have considered that, Dominic does.
Oh, really?
Yeah. but I don't think that that's very, you know, good for my Twitter brand.
Okay. Okay. Remember your brand, Rachel. Okay.
Yeah, I have to remember my brand.
Brand is watching. Yeah. All right. And, of course, the great Brendan Villegas. He's feuding with Eric Stein.
Yeah. And you guys, everyone knows. I hope Twitter is spreading it. Somebody get the word to them.
Yeah, someone needs to get that because I think this is like a just happened.
I had already wrote a script for.
He printed out a picture and taped it on a pumpkin.
I know, but
are you going to Gallagher the pumpkin?
Yes, yes. Well, Brendan, will you smash that pumpkin a la Gallagher? Puya wants to know.
Exactly. Well, I was going to see if Gallagher's in town still.
Hey,
he used to be at Knott's Berry Farm. I wonder if he's still frequent.
Yeah. Brennan, we could do that.
What a life you lead here in the Big Brother house.
That could be a cameo. Hire me to smash the pumpkin with Eric Stein's face.
Okay. All right. Well, you should save that for cameo.
Yeah.
That's okay. True. All the good stuff.
All right, Brenchel, so great to catch up with both of you. It's always a thrill when you both come on the podcast. Sending so much love to your family. So nice thank to catch you. Up with you. And we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Okay.
All right, guys. Thank you, everyone.
All right.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye. Nice to meet you, Maggie.
Nice to meet you.
What a treat. What a treat that was here today, awesome. Maggie. How about that?
I woke up today and I did not think I would be meeting Brenchel. And wow, what a day it's been.
Well, Maggie, so nice to meet you. And so nice to hear that you got a gift of a video from Pauly Calafiore, and it was one that was safe for work.
It was made from Cameo, not OnlyFans. Mm-hmm. There is an important distinction.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Well, so Maggie, I know you wanted to join us today to talk about some things going on in the Big Brother 22 house.
Yes. Well, I thought especially this week that me, you know, being an actor and living in New York, I could lend some advice to these house guests on the performances that they've been giving all week. Like all of them are like trying to win daytime Emmys in the Big Brother house this week. It's like really exciting to see them flex their acting chops. And I thought we could get into it a little bit.
Sure. Yeah. A number of people have talked about these acting performances that they've been doing.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And we saw a little bit of it last night on the episode, which I will say, I feel like that is the best performance that I have seen on Big Brother, perhaps ever. Like Devon really in the diary room, even I was tricked until I wasn't. And she really delivered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Devon was up on the wall and she fell down. And then she made everybody convinced that she was very upset about the whole thing.
Did you have a clip?
I was working on getting it.
Sorry.
Yes. Okay. Here. I do have it. If you want to hear it. Okay. All right. Here is Devon talking about falling off the wall.
The reason why I'm being kept in this house is because she can't win comps. We can beat her. So I'm going to use that.
Devon falls.
I'm sorry, Devon, you have been eliminated and will be a have-not for the week.
Why do I suck at all these competitions? I always suck. And that is how you play Big Brother.
Uh-huh.
Get him.
Don't worry. These aren't real tears. I practice the craft. I come in here and I'm going to use them.
Okay, boom. All right. So, Meg, what can we take away from Devon's technique?
You know, I think that she did something very smart, which is put a large distance between herself and the people she was acting for. Mm-hmm. Like, she wasn't face to face with anyone. She was like looking down at the ground and she was like, I suck.
Okay.
And she was really her voice.
Would you say that Davon's technique is better for the theater as opposed to television or film, which is more of a close up medium?
I would say yes, given the grandiose gestures and way that she was using her voice after she fell. I would say yes, that would be good for perhaps a Broadway size house.
Yes.
And I would have left that performance and have been very convinced.
Do you think that you could coach Pooja to have a performance using the Davon technique?
Right now?
Sure.
Okay, so okay. Pooja, what you have to do is look down so that hat kind of covers half your
face. I
want
to know what's his motivation. What are you upset about, Pooja? Okay.
Liana spent, funny cameo story, Liana spent $20 to get her sister, whose birthday it is today, a cameo from William Hung yesterday.
Okay.
So she used our money for William Hung cameo. It was a choice. And so I'm not happy about it.
So Pooja, who would you have rather she chose?
I mean, there's not
you
a lot.
Go back
personally,
to the Big Brother list of who could you get for $20?
Yeah, the $20 equivalent. What's that over there?
Let's see. For $20 is not going to get you too far on the Big Brother page. People from Big Brother Australia, maybe.
Ooh, James Ryan has $15. That's not bad.
Yeah, yeah. He just wants your number. I think that's how he gets in your phone. Yeah.
Perhaps not then. Yeah, it was a bargain pick. It was a bargain pick. I was just surprised that we ended up going that direction.
Here, Big Brother Canada 7's Adam Pike, only $5. You could have gotten four cameos from Adam Pike.
What could have had to stitch together, get a full like song out of them or something? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that would have been nice.
Nick Macaroni is only $25.
I'd take William Hung at that point. Like, give me the William Hung cameo and $5 on the side. I'll take that.
Okay.
So,
yes.
Hat low. So you want me to like this way?
Yeah. Perfect. That's perfect. So we can barely see your face. There's going to be a lot of arm movement. There's going to be a lot of gestural life in this performance. And okay. I want you to exclaim, and I don't want your voice to go high, because if you notice, when she said, I suck at everything, she didn't shriek it. She said it from like a low place in her chest. So go William Hung when we could have had Adam Pike. Lots of gestural life. Lots of yes.
When we could have had Adam Pike for $5. $5. She went with William Hung. William Hung of all people. She Bangs. She went with She Bangs. I don't get it. I just don't get it. End scene.
Wow. Bravo. Well done. Hey,
took a couple of tries, a couple of cries.
A couple of cries.
There. There you go.
Brilliant, Pooja.
Yes. Okay, Maggie, who else has been adopting different acting techniques in the house?
Well, next we have the joy of the season, the gift that keeps on giving, David himself. Mm. Going around after he uses his power on himself, it's very obvious. The only person who seemed to be tricked by him not using it on himself was Kevin, which is not saying much in terms of reads. So David immediately starts crying, which is impressive. But the problem is it was clearly not motivated well enough, because he started crying as the meeting was being called, as though he knew what was going on. So the tears came a bit too early. And so the crying itself, very impressive. I give him a 10 out of 10 for being able to cry in command. I cannot do that. Go, David. The problem is that afterwards, he went around very publicly to everyone in the house asking if they used the power on him. And when I say like very publicly, I mean there would be like five people in the kitchen making lunch, and he was walking up to someone and getting directly in their face and being like, did you use it on me? Did you? And whispering, but like sort of whisper yelling mm-hmm. to them in a very intense way that not only convinced people that he was lying, but made them deeply, deeply disturbed and uncomfortable.
Okay.
So I'm gonna have to give that one like a 2 out of 10 because it was not convincing and also frightening.
Mm-hmm. Does that mean he'd be nominated for a Razzie? Is that what he would be getting?
At that point. Yeah, actually. Yeah, because it was completely unbelievable for everyone in the house.
Do you think you could coach Puya to find out who took him off the block?
I think I could. Okay. So Puya. Oh,
no. Okay.
So Puya, this is the most important thing. So this one, you keep your face up as close to the camera as you can get it, basically, because we're gonna try to make sure that you are in people's face. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yes. Eyebrows raised. Eyes open as far. Yes. Perfect.
I'm like giving maybe, crazy eyes here.
maybe we furrow our brow a bit to seem very concerned. Like, yeah, like get some forehead wrinkles in there. But yeah, you have very good skin. The forehead wrinkles are not showing up. Mm-hmm. Furrow the brow a bit. Look very, very concerned and whisper, but like whisper loudly.
Okay.
Perfect.
Are we good? Yeah, we're good.
And make sure you ask Rob, mm-hmm. the host of the podcast, if he wants you to host when he inevitably gets fired.
Well, I'm getting fired?
We're doing a complete non sequitur.
Canceled or fired?
Perhaps both, but we're doing a complete non sequitur. Why would... I don't know. Your name is on the podcast. Perhaps canceled is the right one. But
well, I don't want to get canceled.
I'm not putting that into the universe, Rob. Mm-hmm. Don't worry. But like something that's a complete, like a question that you would never, ever, ever ask Rob, because he did ask this to Tyler, if Tyler used the power on him and Tyler's on the block. So maybe, yeah, we're asking Rob. I don't know.
Maybe Puya ordered himself a William Hung cameo
Then
is trying to now deny it and then is asking me if I sent him the William Hung cameo.
Rob, I gotta know something. Did you book me the William Hung cameo? Was it you?
No. Why would I do that? You did that.
I feel like I don't understand why someone would do that to me.
Hold eye contact, Puya. Hold eye contact. Make it all the more disturbing.
It's not in my vocabulary, but yes. Okay. So I just want to know why, Rob. Like, why would someone do that to me? That's why I think it was you. I think it was you. Did mm-hmm. you, are you sure you didn't book me the William Hung Shebang cameo?
Now, this is very disturbing. I'm going to have to, I just need to get out of this conversation.
Okay, me too.
Okay.
I don't even know.
Yeah, what do you think,
my
Maggie?
Eyes hurt.
Yeah.
I think Puya's doing great.
Doing great.
Puya, yes. You're doing awesome. I love it.
Thank you.
I
got good coaching right now. I got free premium coaching right now, which I appreciate. Just don't invoice me later because we've spent the budget on the William Hung cameo now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. Only because you asked.
Thank you.
Okay. Maggie, is there anybody else that you've noticed their technique?
Well, the last thing I noticed was last night they were all trying to get Devon to not use the veto.
Okay, yes.
So all of these people who Devon has like spoken about 7 words to, same with Kevin, especially like someone like Christmas coming up to Devon after she refused to put Tyler on the block last week, saying, "I'm going to vote out Tyler over Kevin," just so everybody in the house knows, like, I don't think that you could be more obvious if you tried. I mean, perhaps David was more obvious than Christmas and Memphis and Cody and Enzo. But, you know, I think it's like give or take.
Mm-hmm.
Take your pick.
Yeah.
I think that the technique there basically is just lying and sort of bad lying in the context of the group as a whole, because when no one has talked to you talk game to you at all, like Kevin, and then suddenly everyone's coming up to you telling you that you're safe. That's the exact way to make everyone feel like you are very in danger.
Okay. And how would you tweak that?
I think the first thing I would do is tell Christmas to be different than how she is.
I would tell her that any day of the week.
Yeah. I actually wanted to get on here, Robin, and talk a bit about Christmas, but we can save that one for after we're done with this. But I think that I would tell them to perhaps be less direct in their approach. Mm-hmm. Perhaps write a script
on the
for
nose,
themselves.
Right.
Yeah, like maybe like we write a script that involves like some deal making or some like, you know, getting Kevin to give a pitch to you before you tell him you're going to vote for him to stay, like something other than walking directly up to someone, just stating your lines, because those are your lines that you've been told to say by your alliance, you know, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I think that you want to try to be a little less obvious with what you're mm-hmm. saying, and really mm-hmm. build the scene. More so yeah. than just come
build
right out
a
and
scene,
say it.
Build a scene, say one thing, but know that the motivation is another, you know, like have a secret from the audience. Like that's a great technique to use when you're acting. Mm-hmm. Like feel like you have a secret because everybody will lean in and want to know what you're thinking, you know. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately for them, their secret is that they're lying to Kevin and Kevin can read it all over their face.
Okay.
So yeah, I guess like for me, if I'm getting the assignment right here, it's mm-hmm. when someone allows you to copy their homework and they say, just don't make it seem like you're copying from me directly. You got to add that fluff in the middle. You got to add a little mm-hmm. bit to like, it's like the same, it's what you want, but there's a little bit more extra added on top from your own side.
Yeah. So if the sentence is, Liana, why would you have ordered the William Hung cameo? Perhaps you say, Liana, there's a cameo here. I believe it's from William Hung. Why would you do that? You know, we just mix it up a little bit. So we're not still using the same script.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Okay.
I like that.
Do you want to talk about Christmas?
Sure. Yeah. Let's talk about Christmas joy.
Okay. Yeah. Christmas joy Abbott. Okay. Maggie, what do you want to talk about with the delightful Christmas?
So I just want to know why you think she's there. Cause we talked preseason a bit about like, mm-hmm. why is she there? And I think that her being in the house has shown us even more, given us more questions than answers as to why she's there. My thing is like, I understand that she came in third, like nobody can take that away from her. I get that. But like Victoria came in third. And we're not watching Victoria on this season. You know, like there's a lot of third placers who should never have come back on the show. And I think maybe Christmas was one of them. So I'm wondering.
You have a theory, Maggie.
Well, I do have a theory, but it's not like fun or funny. I think that they just felt bad that she broke her leg and like, you know, promised her maybe perhaps at the time of it that if she finished out the season, if they ever did an All-Stars, they would ask her back. But I mean, that's, you know, just putting on my tinfoil hat. I don't really know, you know.
I think that they are very much motivated by the social media. And I do feel like that however she got them, she does have a big Instagram following. And for whatever reason, that I think that they feel like, hey, that's a lot of people. You can't just buy Instagram followers.
Yeah.
And she's got a following.
It's like a different audience. This is kind of like the CrossFit side of things. Because like I know it's like almost like what, 600, 700,000? So that's not a small amount, right? And I think that also, and this might be a silly thing for me to say, but I have a feeling that I'm kind of okay with being like comfortable putting my name on this, but I think they love their sound effects and their puns. Mm-hmm. And I think Christmas gives that them more than any house guest in that house. You know, the jingle bells, the puns, the joy, the Christmas presents, all that.
Yes, but like if we're gonna go with like sound effects, like why didn't I know I've said it on like several podcasts, why didn't we bring back Judas Austin himself? Like why isn't he there? Come on, at least he's like hilarious and crazy.
Did he have a lot of sound effects?
Oh, yeah. He was always getting those, like, the, like, scary, like, low drums. And, like, the villains aren't we all speech. Like, yeah. That, like, whole thing was very, like, they did, like, they had, like, a six-piece orchestra or something.
I feel like he's working in wrestling.
Now, like, he's no longer, like, in the independent scene. He's no longer on. He's, like, on the lead competitor to WWE at this point. So, he's busy. He's busy.
So
dang it. Austin, I miss you. Come back.
Okay. We'll see if we ever get the reason. But I can't imagine what they would tell Christmas, like give her some sort of guarantee. Hey, we'll bring you back for All-Stars. Because it's not like they didn't get her hurt. Right?
Right. It was
Whistlenut.
Yeah. It's his fault.
Maybe though, like for her to come back from the hospital into the game, like to get her back into the game, that was the guarantee. Mm-hmm. I don't know, because like I didn't even know they really did this until I listened to your Survivor stuff, Rob. Yeah. And I know that there's like some rumblings about like that them doing that to Lex.
Yes, yes.
Or something. But like I didn't know that was like even a thing that happened. But I imagine because of like the traumatic experience that Christmas had before on the show that they would perhaps try and make it up to her. And maybe with the casual fans, she does have like a decent story arc of she was this comp beast who got hurt and like people want to see her have a second shot. But oh man, for us at home, it's dark.
I don't know. Puya, did William Hung record that cameo yet?
He did. Okay. I was able to hear it.
Okay.
Today.
All right. Check so let's see if is this an invasion of privacy to listen
to?
Oh,
this is so funny. No, because he sings a song. It's not like
on the William Hung.
No information gets leaked by any means.
Okay.
So.
Let's see. Let's see if we can track it. I feel like that we've heard so much about it. This one says somebody asked William Hung for advice.
God. That might be better.
Jeff, this is William Hung from American Idol. Thank you for being a big fan. I want to tell you that fantasy football isn't dumb. It's just like
William Hung. Who do I draft at the turn?
Do you have any sleepers for me?
I thought it would be maybe if it was Big Jeff. Okay. All right. Let's see. Is this the birthday William Hung cameo in question?
Hi, Candy. This is William Hung.
No. Let's see. How about this one?
Hello, Poppy. This is
no.
Nope.
Okay, so if we go by the letters next to it, it's the M one. It's the middle one.
Oh, here we go. All right, here is the William Hung birthday cameo.
Hi, Marissa. This is William Hung from American Idol. I want to wish you a happy birthday coming up tomorrow. Thank you for being a big fan. I know that you like Legos and gardening, so whatever you want to do, I know that you can do it. All right. So here's a special song for you. And just do it. Be what you want to be. Do what you want to do. Be true yourself. And just do it. Be what you want to be. Do what you want to do. Because it's all up to you.
Is that an original song?
I don't think so. It sounds familiar. I remember thinking it sounded familiar today, but you couldn't. I could have enough guesses to get it.
Is it a RuPaul song?
Is it?
Yeah, I don't want to get dragged.
From Drag Race?
Yeah.
I don't know either.
Yeah. Maggie, is William Hung like a real Dwight Squall?
I mean, yeah. I feel like, Booyah, you have no reason to be mad about that cameo. That cameo was amazing. Mm-hmm. I would have paid $20 for that cameo from William Hung. It was way better than my Pauly Calafiore one.
This is true. This was a good barn. We got a song and a celebration, so it was good.
For sure.
Off the top of my head, I was like, what can I use for this acting exercise? Let me get outrage on the cameo.
Got it.
Okay. That was your motivation. So I have another live feed clip. By the way, Maggie, did you happen to hear any of our chat about spaghetti salad?
Sort of. So if... I was like on my way home from work during the first half, but I've seen the clip I think that you're about to show. Is this, can you give me a quick rundown of the spaghetti salad? Because as a fellow Michigander, is it Nicole that does
Yes. It's,
I think I know.
It's cold spaghetti with ham, vegetables, and Italian dressing.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Yes.
No. I was going to say something else, but no, I don't know what that is.
Okay. All right. We're not sure what that is either. Okay. All right. So Zaddy Taran has a clip for us from the live feeds from Ian Terry from the other night. Let's see if we can bring this one in to take a look at it from the great Zaddy Taran, not to be confused with Mommy Taran. Is that a new one? Okay.
Mother Taran.
Okay.
So many now.
All right. Here is Ian. He is hanging out with Cody, Danny, Tyler, and Enzo. And they're talking a little bit about movies and podcasts. Okay.
So good. It's so bad. I literally watched it 1,000 times.
The best Disney Channel original movie, I think, was
Brink.
Brink.
Who's Brink that? With Eric Von Denton.
Okay, the best original Disney Channel movie, Ian Terry is talking about. Puya, do you have a horse in this race?
I mean, I like the answer he gave, and I would have to do my research to make sure that these are the correct, like they are actual Disney originals. I'm a big Mighty Ducks guy. Mm-hmm. Mighty Ducks 2 specifically is the one I prefer. Luck of the Irish, I remember, was like somewhat.
That's a good one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I like that one, but it's been a minute. It's been a minute since I've gone back to like look at them as well. Oh, Blank Check. There was another one. The name evades me completely now, but we'll get back to it if I can remember it.
Okay.
Fuck yeah, that's a good ass movie.
Smart House.
That used to scare me, man.
Dude, that movie's dope.
Okay, Smart House is to scare Tyler. What's that? A house where they take you away from your significant other for several weeks?
No, in Smart House, it like they this the house does everything I think that like the mom does. Hmm. So it cooks breakfast and it controls the light, but then I think it like goes crazy, sort of like in all like robot movies, you know, where like the technology is bad. Mm-hmm. I believe. Don't quote me. I feel like people are going to tweet me and be like, "What are you talking about?" But okay. I believe.
Okay. All right. Smart House.
Saying to Rob's was good. Rob. Sesternino, after I get out of here, we're doing a movie cast about Smart House.
Smart House.
Plus.
Hell yeah.
Movie cast.
I really like the famous Jet.
Okay. I know the volume on this is a little low. Okay. So Ian says, I'm telling Rob Sesternino, we're going to do a movie. He has mentioned this before. I didn't know what it was, but if he wants to do it, we'll talk about Smart House. He wants to do a movie cast. There seems to be some confusion in the room. What is a movie cast? What is that? Ian will explain.
Jackson, too.
So like
Johnny Rob Tsunami.
You know,
I didn't like.
That's good. The man.
So like Rob says, you know, you watch a movie and then you sit down and talk about it for a few hours.
No, I'm not.
So you watch a movie.
And then me and Rob Sesternino sit down and talk about that movie for like a couple
Disney
hours.
Disney movies?
Any movie. Like Eric Stein did like Billy Madison. Hours? Yeah, I did Home Alone.
Enzo is that he is really just falling off the chair like, what? A couple of hours? Talk about a movie? What is that?
I like how outraged Enzo was when I'm like, you're a pretty chatty guy. I feel like you'd do just fine with a couple hours. You've had a couple hours talking about anything. I feel like he could watch Vines and then have a lot of things to say about them. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yo, in this movie, Smart House, they go to some house and the house goes crazy, man. Like, I don't even know. Fuck it. Yeah, man. I don't know.
Alone. What are you talking about for a couple hours?
Cody also is like... That he says the wall yellers get a hobby. I think I would know what Cody would tell me I should be doing with my time, Puya, instead of doing a movie cast.
Go exercise, workout, soccer, get a hobby.
I thought you were going to say, get laid.
Get paid and get laid.
Well, you know. Cody, I would not expect him to be able to talk about anything for an hour and hold my attention. So, like, I'm not surprised that he's like, what, an hour? Yeah.
Listen to the disdain Cody has for talking about a movie for a couple hours.
I did Home Alone.
What are you talking about for a couple hours?
Oh my God, that's disgusting. What is a wrong with you? Yeah. Don't you have a life?
I feel like Cody could talk about like cars for a couple hours.
Is he a big car guy?
Yeah, there's like this horrible clip of like him and Tyler talking about cars, and you can tell Tyler is like deeply uninterested, but like having to talk to him about it because they're aligned. And Cody's like describing every car that he's ever owned, and Tyler's like, "Yeah, man, that's so cool."
Okay, here is explaining the movie cast to Cody.
Do you like reenact the movie?
No. Do we reenact the movie? We never thought of that, Maggie.
Let's do it, Rob. I want to do that version of it with you. Let's get wigs.
Yeah, what do you think, Puya? Is there any movie that we could do a reenactment on a live stream?
Personally, I genuinely say this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get cast it. We'll figure out who to cast.
Yeah.
Get a reenactment of The Room going.
Or The Room? See, I like doing like a table read, like what they did with the Princess Bride, but I never thought about reenacting the movie on a live stream.
I feel like there's a lot more animation to it. If you get in character, especially, it's a good time. Yes, there'll be like script reading, but I think that bringing in the emotion, that's where you really, like someone saying that Lisa's tearing them apart, I need that. Mm-hmm. I need that.
Yeah. All right, reenactment of the movie. Okay, maybe we can do that with one of the Cody Calafiore movies.
I don't know how much script is there. If there's enough, emotion for us to reenact, I'd be shocked.
Is the movie just an hour and a half?
Yeah, like the movie cast is usually longer than the actual movie.
Oh, what the hell? But what are you talking about?
I can't. I mean, like, just a bunch. Rob makes a bunch of jokes. I just like awkwardly laugh along. And pretty good. Billy Madison, Eric Stein did that one.
I can barely talk for 10 like seconds straight.
Yeah, that's a great
one. Yo, if it's over an hour, I'm done.
Cody is not. He does not want to be on an hour long. That's it. No way.
They looked so checked out of this conversation.
I don't know if they mentioned my name. Maybe they mentioned like somebody else. That this was, you know, it's not been a great summer for podcast hosts. They don't want to talk. We know how most of this house feels about podcasts.
For sure. Also, I'm laughing at the fact that Tyler said, like, I can't even talk for more than 2 minutes because I also believe that.
Yeah.
I believe you would get Tyler on a podcast and he would be like, yeah, man. Mm-hmm. Like Johnny Tsunami. That movie was great. Mm-hmm. It was about a guy named Johnny who wrote a tsunami.
Yeah. Is that really Johnny Tsunami? That's a real movie?
He's like a surfer. Yeah. That's another Disney Channel original movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Time and a place, I guess, for Johnny Tsunami.
I'm doing 5-minute podcasts.
Mini podcast.
That's it. Enzo, 5-minute podcast for Enzo. He's a 5-minute podcast guy.
Yeah, it's going to be called A Couple of Guys, A Couple of Tries, where him and Cody are co-hosts, and then it's on Quibi. So it's only like 10-minute pops. And they just keep attempting to keep a topic going for longer than 2 minutes. So it's like a 10-minute podcast where they try 5 topics and see if they can talk about it enough.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So Smart House coming to RHAP this fall.
Amazing.
I love it. I have a feeling, though, that when you get Enzo on a podcast, it will be like a 4-hour long podcast because he'll just want to talk and talk. Like, he's like, I'm doing a 5-minute long podcast, but I'm waiting for your exit podcast with Enzo, and it'll be like 4 hours of him, you, and Taryn all talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that'll be long. I feel like that we could do that one. Okay. Maggie, what else do you want to talk about from the week in BB22?
You know, I've been having such a hard time this week, and I was sort of like really excited to get on this podcast because it's all just like silly stuff, but Tyler has been such a disappointment to me this week. And this is coming from like Tyler from Big Brother 20 is like my favorite Big Brother player ever. Mm-hmm. I was so into that season. I loved how dynamic he made it, and like hearing him want to quit was just devastating for me and like my fan heart. I was like, what is going on? Like, you can have your cake and eat it too. Like, you're good enough.
You can have your vegan donut and still eat it. Yeah.
You can. Like, and then you can win HOH and get Angela's plant-based kitchen in your HOH basket. Like, But Tyler, but you can. No. You can keep both Devon and Bailey. Christmas will do whatever you say. Tyler, you're skilled enough. Oh, it was painful. Can't do it. It was,
no,
it was awful.
Do. Yeah. Yeah. And he's on the block now, and nobody wants to vote him out.
Because that's how good he is. Like, it's so annoying. You know, what's really annoying is watching Danny be so bad and like wanting her to succeed, because you're like, at least she's wanting to work with Devon. Like, all she has to do is flip. Like, the path is so clear for Danny right now. And like if she put up Ezzo, she could have gotten her way, and she could have flipped it around, and she could have like killed it and ran with the season. But she's completely misplaying this, and she's absolutely going to be at Tyler's mercy next week. And that really sucks as like a female who wants to watch other girls succeed, watching Danny be so bad and watching Franzel do nothing to stop her from putting up Ian. Like, I mean, I know Franzel pushed back, but like, I would have gone to Ian and been like, you need to talk to Danny right now. You need to get in there. And you, like, if I had someone as valuable to me as Ian in the game, there's no way that I would have been like, well, you know, I just feel really bad. I can't vote him out. Like, do something, girl. Go. Mm-hmm. You're good. You are good. Like, Danny's bad and Franzel is good. So, like, Franzel could have done something about this.
If they were in the smart house instead of the Big Brother house, is there anything they could have done differently?
I mean, I feel like Franzel would have ended up in the smart house just like screaming and crying in a corner. And Danny probably would have tried to like get up in the smart house's face and fight with it. Because when I was on the last podcast, I talked about how Danny gets so close to people when she talks to them.
She's a close
and I've noticed
talker.
It more. She's such a close talker. And when you did your exit interview with Bailey and she was talking about how Danny is like a very intense person, I was like, you can see that on the feeds. Like, I think Danny would freak me out. I would be like, back up. You know, I'm shocked that her and Franzel get along so well, because Nicole is so like, nobody look at me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm shocked that her and Danny are such good friends. But yeah, I feel like Danny would have tried to like scream at the smart house and like make her way out of it in some way like that. I don't know.
Okay. Puya, do you have anything else from Big Brother 22 you want to talk about?
I think we've covered everything. We've covered the goofiness. We've covered the silly. We've covered the cuisine. There's been a lot going on. We've covered our distaste for the walled yelling. I feel like we've jumped. It's enough. I feel like a hipster talking about it, because I'm like, it was cool once. I'm over it. So we don't need it anymore.
Talking about the wall yelling or the wall yelling?
No. Not talking about it. We'll talk about it because it happens. We have to report it, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing is that, you know, there's not even a way of, because, like, you know, the argument would be, well, if we don't give them the attention, they won't do it. It's like, well, it's hard when you're updating on the show, you have to mention these are the events that happen. And there's a reason why there's not been events or has been events. And it's due to this action. So I'm not really happy about that.
Smart House would not allow there to be any wall yellers.
Smart House would have megaphone repellers where every time outside noises would come, the sensors would kick in and they'd play out some noises of their own, maybe like a Jessica falling off the platform last season kind of noises to keep it at bay, I think.
Yeah. Okay. You know who was a big fan of spaghetti salad? I think actually Cliff Hogg.
I've never had this much salad tossed in my face before, since kind of bad date a long time ago, before the wife.
Before the wife. With his arms in the air, with his hands up. Before the wife.
Before the wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Cliff.
Oh, Cliff. Okay.
I have a question about the spaghetti salad. Franzel called it spaghetti salad, or did she call it pasta salad?
Spaghetti salad.
Yeah.
Really? Okay, that is very, because like, as a fellow Michigander, I stand with the pasta salad, you know, sentiment, but I'm confused about the spaghetti. Like, they're the tricolored rigatoni is the version that I have seen at a gathering.
Couple of tricolors, right?
Yeah, a couple of tricolors, a couple of different shades of noodles. I don't know. But I've never seen like spaghetti that you have to like twirl in a fork.
Yeah, that's what it is. I'm looking at a recipe right now. It's Italian spaghetti salad recipe. So it's one package of thin spaghetti halved, tomatoes, zucchini, cucumber, green pepper, red pepper, Parmesan cheese, sesame seed, celery seed, garlic powder, and of course the Italian, one bottle of Italian dressing. So yeah, Maggie's reaction says all you need to know about this.
No good, Maggie?
Well, I do like Italian dressing. It's very good to marinate chicken in Italian dressing if you've never done that. That's a fun pro tip. But the GIF that you have on the screen, Puya, I would like you to please get it off the screen because it's making me feel a bit
ill. This is Rob. Don't blame me for this.
Rob, it's making me a bit ill.
Sorry about that. Okay. All right. There you go. Can we just, real quick, percentage chance Ian stays on Thursday night?
Give me
who's the highest on the panel?
Give me 10%.
I'm higher than that. I was gonna say like 15.
See, I'll say 20. Okay. I'll say 20.
Okay.
And really, I'm just basing it off of that. I think that if Franzel wants it to happen, that I do think that things that she wants it. So if she wants it bad enough, I think that she could potentially work on this.
I hope she does.
Is this a woman who does not like disappointment, does not like to get her way, or does not like to not get her way? And I think that she will put pressure in the areas where it needs to be.
Yeah.
I really hope she does, because she should not want to lose Ian this quickly. Like, if she loses Ian and Cody gets to keep Tyler, she is putting herself in a really bad position. And I know she's good enough to see that. That's why she's having such a tough time today. And that's why she's so upset. And I hope that she can like pull out the claws and make something happen. And who cares if you have to screw over Cody, because Cody's trying to screw over you. Get him, girl. Mm-hmm. Game on, motherfucker.
Yeah, right? Game on. That's right.
Game on, motherfucker.
Game on, motherfucker. Okay. Yeah. All right. Maggie, anything else you want to mention?
I don't know. I think that's it. That movie cast thing sounds so fun though, Rob. I want to do one of those with you.
All right. Well, are we going to reenact the movie or just talk about it?
Whatever you would like. It's up to you.
Hey, look.
I can get some wigs.
If Survivor doesn't come on the air ever again, we're going to have to get there creative, okay?
Great, I'm in.
Okay, all right. And if you have something for the crappy movie diaper, pitch it to Uncle Kiwi.
Absolutely.
Okay. There you go. By the way, Rob and Kiwi need a podcast coming out. 100th episode coming this weekend. A little delayed, but it'll be well worth it if you're waiting on that. All right. Maggie, where can people keep up with what you're doing?
I am on Twitter at _MLMorgan, and then I'm on Instagram at @MLMorgan_, and I have a friend who was making fun of me for having two different handles when I'm on the podcast and talking about it, but I can't change it. So on Twitter, the underscore is first, and on Instagram it's after.
Okay, look, anytime you can have multiple handles with underscores in different places, you got to do it, okay?
I know, it's terrible. It's terrible. As Rachel would say, my brand is watching and it's disappointed in me.
Okay, of course. Puya, we had so much fun today.
Oh, yeah.
Going over spaghetti salad, talking with Brenchel and William Hung and everything. Where could people get more Puya?
People, if they like what they see when I'm around, they can find me on all social medias, Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, Puyaism on all three. Also, as far as podcasting goes, you can find me talking about non-Big Brother stuff over on the 90 Day Fiancé Wrap-Up podcast, where every week we talk about the two 90 Day Fiancé shows simultaneously on one podcast. Right now, we have only one on air because the other one's on a one-month hiatus. That's fine. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to talk about. There's a lot of new people to meet as a co-host that I bring in as we go along. And as of last night, we got a preview of The Masked Singer. So that's coming up in about 10 days. So The Masked Singer is going to be back in full swing for a season 4. And I will be talking about that when that happens with the great but questionable decision maker, Liana Boris, over on that podcast.
I saw the picture. I think maybe Puya, you tweeted out of like the lips person.
Lips.
I'm so intrigued. I'm gonna have to watch because I have a couple friends who love it. So I'm gonna have to watch. I'm like pumped up. You posted that picture, and I'm like, this seems insane. I need to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a lips performer, but then the performer's hands in the costume come out of the mouth. So it's very weird looking. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. This season, they're definitely gone with the more outlandish choices on the costume. So definitely tune in because we'll have opinions on these.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear? I think that Jason Guy name checked you the other day.
I lost it, Robin. That's the thing. Being on the slop now twice, being with Rachel Swindler and then being with Brenchel here and then hearing that this is a part of podcasting that I'm still not fully like taken in because I'm like all cool, calm, talking, joking. Then they're on. I'm like starstruck. So I saw the Jason Guy clip. Yeah. Shout out Jason Guy. Jason Guy shouted me out. That is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I have no business being name checked, but that was surreal, Rob.
Yeah. Really and then was. Next will be then when you know you've gotten like nice things. Wait until you get, you know, that Puya guy. I really didn't care for him.
Yeah, especially I feel like that's due. You know, it's been up. It's up. It's good. This is a great summer for me. At some point, I'm a peak, and then someone's not going to like what I said.
Really like a couple of those tweets he had.
I'm a duck for cover.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said this week, you know,
you're going in the binder.
It took a couple hours and a couple powers, and this week we're on a different level. So it's good. I'll take it.
We are going to have a Big Brother episode recap coming up on Tuesday night. Be on the lookout for that, 9:15 p.m. Eastern time on Tuesday. Then the LFC Roundtable makes the switch to Wednesday this week. And we'll be back with, we'll get things started on Thursday night with our patron-only pregame show at 7 Eastern, then Big Brother at 8, and then we'll be live after the episode at 9:15 p.m. Eastern time. Hope you can join us for all of that coming up. What should be an interesting week. We'll see Ian versus Tyler the rest of this week. See how this all plays out. Thank you so much for watching. Take care, everybody, and stay sloppy. Take care. Bye.